These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Thank you. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Listening to Mad Science at www.shazazradio.com, and jump over there to People for People Radio, where the link is actually posted right there in the superchat.html, where is another place where you can actually go to have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. Yay! And to help me create a ruckus today, I got Barbara on here. Hi, Barbara.
Hi there, Chizzes. Glad to be here. I got my ruckus pants on.
Cool. We could talk about some doggone mad science ridiculousness, but before all that, I want to talk about non-resistive heat because it's a really important thing, especially if mad science, well, not mad science, because mad science would never do the crazy spraying in the sky and trying to send us into a early mini ice age and such. But nonetheless, if you get an opportunity, go over there and check out People for People Radio. There is a banner right underneath one of the chat rooms in the superchat.html where you can join us on the radio show if you got some comments and stuff and you want to post some links and check out the links that we're talking about on the show. That's where you find them all. So, with that said, I threw in a Wikipedia link there for Joule heating is basically what they call it, non-resistive or resistive heating or whatever. Doggone it, let me try to copy that again and see if I can send it in there. Do-do-do-do. That's bad for radio. Alright, I'm going to send that in there. Anyway, I think it's still up and up. Let me do it again. I sound like a good old babbling buffoon right at the moment. But, anyway, that's because I got like 10 million things running through my head. See, here's the thing about electricity. Electricity's it's an amazing thing. It's amazing science, but it's kind of not being used the way it could be used. Otherwise, we'd have what we call efficiency, which we, at this point in the game, don't have. Most of the heating systems that have to do with electrical rely on resistance. Like, there's a couple different materials that are common in a lot of electric heaters. One of them is nichrome wire, nickel chromium. I actually got a spool of this stuff right here. But it basically, it's resistant to electrical current. And the other element that they usually use in electric heaters is tungsten element. It's a long wire that basically made out of tungsten. Both of them are known for their resistance in electrical current flow. And that's how they get hot. But the problem with that is that when you have a heater system like that, basically all that resistance is causing your electric bill to go through the roof. Yeah, the more of those electric heaters you got going on there, the more load that they're drawing. Most average heaters anywhere from 750 watts up to 1500 watts. And at 1500 watts, there's a pretty inefficient heating system going on there. And if you got to run multiples of those, you start doing the math. Your electric bill, electric company man, the one that gets to collect your money, he's the one that really loves you for running those electric heaters. Trust me, I know. Because I'm putting them in the, they're in, living in a mansion because of my electric bill. But that's alright, because I do have a plan. See, one of the things that about electricity, anytime you use any type of energy, you always going to generate some sort of heat from anything from friction to resistance and so on. And so we need to find a more efficient way in order to be able to run our electric heating if we're going to be using electric heat, so that we're not you know, spending money by the bucket loads to the man just to stay warm in the winter time. Well, both of those materials that I talked about, tungsten and nichrome wire, those can be heated up and with using other methods. The thing about electricity is that, especially in electronics, resistance produces heat. So all of our electronics are computers. If you feel the back of your laptop or your phone after it's been on for a while, you'll notice that thing's hot because the resistors inside there, resisting the heat. Anytime you're resisting that current flow in that electricity, it's causing heat. That's a side effect of everything. So we got to have cooling systems on our computers, and should actually have a cooling system on your phone, but you know, they're so compact these days that they really can't put much in there. But nonetheless, it's a waste product. Heat is a waste product of everything that we use our electricity. Every time we got an electric motor, as that electric motor's running, it's producing what they call eddy currents inside there, because that That doggone electricity wants to go. It don't want to be stopped. And if you try to slow it down, then it's actually going to create like little mini whirlpools inside the metal, the cores that the transformers use, and cause them to get hot. And so no matter how hard we try, we can't seem to get away from the heat. But the thing about it is, we actually need heat. We could use that heat for all kinds of purposes. Heating our water, heating our homes, heating whatever. So instead of it being thought of as waste, we should have been thinking about it all along as in a good thing. Like I said, instead of using the appliances that we, the way that we do, wasteful, so to speak. Basically, if you're going to be generating heat, you might as well be using it as well. So while you're running your electric motors, you're actually tapping into that heat to do other things as well. Efficiency, that's the word I was looking for. But how do you heat up a tungsten or a nichrome wire without pushing a lot of current through there? See, that's the key. If you can design a heating system that uses low wattage, low voltage, low current, then you're going to end up with a super efficient heating system. And that's what I'm trying to get to today, is because if you can get your heat resolved, then the rest of that is ridiculously simple. Now, I talked about a circuit board here in the last couple shows that basically you can buy real cheap off of eBay. It's a little 12 volt to 120 to 220. Actually, it's 12 volts to 220 volts AC. 12 volts DC to 220 volts AC inverter circuit. And it's actually really not an inverter. It's just a driver board until you hook it to a transformer coil, and then it becomes an inverter. But nonetheless, been doing a lot of experiments on these things. And in my last couple videos, I showed where I'm only running these coils, these microwave oven transformers, off of the first two legs on this this circuit. And I keep telling everybody inside there the importance of why those transistors aren't getting hot. See, that's the key right there. If you can keep those transistors cool, they'll never fail. And if you as long as they're staying cool, then you know that thing is running incredibly efficient. It's not having the resistance that's causing the heat that causes things to fail. And the more you can run for less, the better. And so, basically, I've been running experiments to see how many transformers I can run off of this one circuit just using the signal, the frequency range that's coming out of the one side there. And so, yesterday, I got to the stage where now I was going to run the attempt of actually running a nichrome wire element out of a 1500-watt space heater, so that I could actually see whether or not that frequency in itself would do the same job without having to have all the current flow. And to my surprise, when I connected this nichrome wire element up to it, it began to get hot. Now, keep in mind, it didn't get as hot as it would have with the current flow, but it did get hot. So what that told me was that using the proper frequency, you can quite literally energize those wires and produce enough heat just like you would be for your normal resistive load, which is really exciting, because this thing didn't get hot enough for me to burn my hand, but you could obviously feel as the temperature, the longer the thing ran, was beginning to warm up. Which tells me that if I sped that frequency up a little bit higher than what it is right there and could actually match the resonance of that nichrome wire, I could cause that nichrome wire to get super red hot. And that's what you want. But the key about the whole deal is, what I was expecting to happen when I connected this into the first two legs of this particular circuit was that it would create a dead short and cause the relay to trip itself and kick off and on. But to my surprise, while running transformers, an electric motor, neon bulbs, and all the stuff that I was normally running off the first two legs. Once I connected those that nichrome wire to the last two legs of this particular circuit, it did not produce enough resistance to cause this thing to bog down, but it did generate heat. And that's really exciting, because the transistors, even with what should have been a short, a dead short in this thing, never got hot. And so for those out there who's actually into electronics and you understand the implications of what I just explained to you, that unlocks the door to potentials like you would not believe, because now this particular circuit, which could be a basis for a beginning design of a specific circuit that would run multiple things by taking in the same exact frequency and just changing it around, speeding it up, slowing it down, so you would be able to, with the same exact circuit, tune one side to actually do your heating, and the other sides to run things like induction coils and electric fans and such like that, transformers, and be able to do it under 1 amp. And for those of you out there who's into electronics and electricity and understand amperage and wattage and all that kind of stuff, that should be exciting to you as well, because right there, if you can run a lot of stuff with only under 1 amp's worth of input, then you're talking about crazy efficiency. You're talking about efficiency that if you followed that model, you could take this particular size circuit right here and you could build basically the equivalence of a space heater that would normally take 1500 watts and be able to run it off of just something as low as 1 amp, which is I don't know how anybody could argue that would be super efficient, because you could run that space heater off the equivalence of a small 12-volt battery, and that small 12-volt battery could be hooked up to a charge controller, and one little 45-watt solar panel would be enough to heat your room in your doggone house constantly and keep that battery charged up at the same exact time. So it's pretty exciting to me, and I'm going to try to do some videos about it. And I need to get access to one of the thermal measurement tools so that you can actually see on the video. I mean, I can sit there and tell you something's getting hot, but I want you to actually be able to see the visible temperatures of it. Wish I had one of those thermal cameras. That would be pretty amazing, because you could actually see the difference between a resistive load as opposed to a non-resistive load that is actually doing the same exact job. If you sat there and send a signal into that nichrome wire, normally when you're running the nichrome wire elements or the tungsten elements, it requires a lot of current in order to create the resistance, which in turn creates the heat. And this can be done without all that current. It can be done simply by vibrating that doggone wire at close to its resonance or even higher, that would cause that thing to get hot. And being able to do it with a circuit, a solid state circuit like this right here, means that you got incredible efficiency. So with that said, the non-resistive heat right there, as far as electricity goes, that means that you're not going to have to work your generators hard. You're not going to have to work your batteries hard. You're not going to have to, pay a massive electric bill because wintertime comes around and you got to run 10 space heaters to keep your house warm. Now these 10 space heaters are running so incredibly efficient but still doing the job. That's the whole key, folks. We've been wasting more energy than we've been using. So what I hope to show with the newest videos and my Mad Science radio show is a way to use electricity in a completely different manner than what we do right now. And it doesn't violate any known laws of physics, doesn't violate any science. Matter of fact, it's all based on real science. And when I tell you things like you could actually engineer an internal combustion engine that would run on pure distilled water, I mean specifically engineered for just that purpose, right? I'm not joking. It can be done. All the science is there. All the physics is there. Everything that I've been talking about, from compression ignition to induction heating to diesel technology, air compressor technology, and so on, all this stuff taking the best of the best combined into one piece of brilliantly engineered machinery could quite literally turn anything that you see out there into a fuel source. And if you want a clean, renewable fuel source, and you already have access to it, you could burn your trash and still have that trash burning so incredibly clean that you ain't got no emissions coming out. See, back in the old days, they used to have this thing that they called acid rain. We was kind of talking about this before the show, Barbara. But their claim was that the factories that were pushing soot and stuff up into the atmosphere and your cars and all this other, stuff like hairspray was causing and all this crud to get up into the atmosphere. And so, basically, what normally would have been like, you go out in the rain, wouldn't bother you or anything. You could actually go out in the rain and it felt like your eyes were burning. Do you remember those days, Barbara?
I do, but we're also having that today.
Yeah.
We're having these various, what you're talking about, eyes are burning and a strange smell.
Yeah, and then whenever the water finally recedes off your vehicles or whatever, it leaves behind a residue,
Residue.
Yeah.
Yeah, big residue.
Yeah, and it's also on trees. I actually, I think I did a video about it a while back, but I know I talked about it on one of the radio shows, but I was pulling leaves off of trees, and they had little black burn marks in them.
Yes, they do.
And it's killing off doggone trees.
Well, a lot of people have been talking about this for quite a few years, just what you're describing. And I noticed it on our maple trees, these strange black spots happening. And, I think this whole thing, I mentioned acid rain because this was maybe like a forerunner to where we are today, with what they're spraying. And this is a topic that probably people say, well, I've heard all about this, yeah. And I'm talking chemtrails, the conspiracy chemtrail thing. And so trying to Google information on what it is that they are spraying, and I did pop into the chat. This video, this documentary is What on Earth Are They Spraying? And I suggest you people watch this. It was made several years ago and I watched the whole thing, but trying to find, okay, what is in this? Because I only read a little bit in maintaining what the heck is in this stuff. It's kind of frightening. So I'm just Googling this before, while we were talking, and everything that when you Google what is in, what are the chemicals or properties in chemtrails, it's every article, every link is about conspiracy nuts, right?
Yeah.
So I did find one finally that I'm going to focus on here. But why am I bringing this up again? Because you people out there might say, this is old news. But it's not old news because it continues to happen. And Tuesday, I went into town. Well, first I woke up 6 o'clock in the morning, which I usually do. I stepped outside. The sky was beautiful, blue, clear. Like the old ways we used to see the skies, right?
Yeah.
And I went into town about an hour later, and I came out the store, and I look up, which I do look up a lot. I think that population, or the majority of populations, are so dumbed down that they don't even look up. They're looking down, you know, they're just walking like dejected souls, you know.
Sorry, I accidentally hit a button.
So anyway, I'm looking up.
Hold on, I'm trying to get this doggone thing to stop.
I have to stop talking.
Yeah, I know, I've got to, hold on, I got to go back in there. Doggone it, I hate it when that happens. No, I was trying to do something and doggone it, I accidentally hit the play button in the chat room, and so now I got to go in there and do it.
Well, stop doing something and listen, so.
All right, give me just 1 second, because it's going to start talking here in a second as soon as it loads back.
Okay.
Oh, hold that thought, doggone it. Come on. All right, there we go. I got it fixed.
That's okay, so working. I stepped out of the store, and I looked up. And lo and behold, the whole sky from horizon to horizon was covered, literally covered with chemtrails. I saw 6 to 7 planes simultaneously going across the sky, back and forth, covering the sky with these tonnage of chemicals. And I'm standing there in the parking lot, and I'm looking around. Well, is there anybody here I can, you know, talk to? I'm mumbling to myself like a crazy person, and that we have to be careful of that, because that's what makes us the conspiracy nut, is that I'm mumbling to myself like a crazy person in the parking lot looking up. So nobody was around except this one guy came out of his car on the other side of my car, and he looks at me. Of course, he sees me mumbling to myself, and he puts his head down. He starts walking past me, and I say, I couldn't help myself. I just yelled out, "Look up!" Huh. And so he stops and he looks up and he goes, "Yeah, I noticed that earlier, right?" And then I said, "They're dropping that crap on us again." And he says, "Yeah," and he walks away, right? And so I'm just saying, yep, I'm becoming a nutcase. I'm in the parking lot looking up at the sky, mumbling to myself, and it was very disturbing, and now this morning I woke up, same thing, the skies are covered, but I have to say Tuesday, what was going to follow that night was a heavy-duty rainstorm, and now today our skies were sunny except, you know, well, clear, but they're not because they're covered with, I have to laugh at the weather people, they say, what would they say, cumulative clouds coming or something along those lines, the way that, yeah, the clouds of chemtrails. So, because we're had a snowstorm's coming in tonight. So, what happens is all this chemicals that they're dropping, and so here I woke up this morning again and saw these big, big, you know, chemtrails coming across the sky, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, how disturbing this is to me, and how assaulting this is upon every one of us, because this is worldwide. It's been going on for years, and they're still doing it. They're still assaulting us. They have, you know, this feeling that here you are down here on this earth, and up above is this chemicals coming at you, or, you know, tons of chemicals coming at you for years. It is very disconcerting. It's very disturbing and frustrating, you know, and I've tried to work through this in my own way of, you know, putting up light, working with prayer, to dispel and disperse any negativities, because I do believe in that. But I'm talking about this today because, I don't know, it just hit me again today about how wrong this is, that our government is doing this to us throughout the whole world. So I came to this article here and talking about, so the piece is here, military and commercial planes, they are involved in more than 60 secret operations, okay, and it's probably more. It's a clandestine program which now includes aerosol spraying planes in North America, Europe, Australia, and the New Zealand. These are all NATO countries, by the way. So hundreds, if not thousands of people have called, they've written their public officials to get answers. And basically the replies from U.S. and Canadian officials are not forthcoming, or they don't even reply and the queries are dismissed. So, you know, so this remains ongoing, deliberate cover-up, and no one is held accountable while we continue to be poisoned daily And this is not the first time, because here's more information. If you don't know this, the citizens of the world have been being used as experimental laboratory test subjects. So the U.S. government and its military have a long and sordid history of using us without informed consent. And this is written by an illegal manner. This person writes, the U.S. military has been spraying chemical and biological weapons in open-air testing over civilian populations since the 1940s. Now, listen to this. This is what they call this. They term this vulnerability tests. Huh. You think? What do you think about that?
Well, I tell you one thing, as far as the chemtrails, the things going on, to, you know, supposedly it's under for the solar shield to block out the sun for climate change, which is flat out ridiculous. But what makes me the maddest about the whole deal is it's not even necessary, because we've been talking about on this radio show for a long time tons of alternative energy solutions that are scientifically proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that could actually start reducing what they call the carbon footprint, like right out of the gate, you know?
Well, we know now that the global warming thing is a farce.
Yeah, it's a scam to get money. That's what makes me so doggone mad. They're stealing from people and poisoning them at the same time.
And so because of global warming that they say we are experiencing, they're going to save the planet by spraying this chemical shield above us. And a Harvard professor basically got huge grants last year, was saying how his idea is to save us all from global warming by putting up a shield upon the sky. And of course, within that shield are, here we go, poisonous brew that includes barium, nano aluminum coated fiberglass known as chaff, radioactive thorium, cadmium, which is, by the way, as an artist, you know, there are warnings about, you know, the cadmium in red paints, very, very dangerous, cancer causing cadmium, chromium, nickel, desiccated blood. Hello?
Did you just say blood?
I did.
Holy smokes.
Now, pay attention. Mold spores. Okay? Yellow fungal mycotoxins.
Well, hold on with the fungal.
All right.
That, I've been noticing a lot of trees with some crazy looking fungus on them.
Yeah. Okay. So now we've got ethylene dibromide and polymer fibers. And barium can be compared to the toxicity of arsenic. Barium is known to adversely affect the heart. Aluminum has a history of damaging brain function. And independent researchers and labs continue to show off-the-scale levels of these poisons. A few anonymous officials, why are they anonymous? Okay, have acknowledged this ongoing aerosol spraying. Okay, these are anonymous officials. Okay, now numerous tests have been done to verify that these poisons are off the scale in their toxicity. They are documented in our water, in our soil, and in our air. And I just want to stop there for a second, because in that documentary, What on Earth Are They Spraying?, they are interviewing two different groups of people. I think one is in California. They are a community, off the grid, organic fish growing, right? They grow fish or whatever.
Yeah.
For sale to eat. And also then in Hawaii, one of the islands off of the main island. I can't remember which island it was, but these people have had an organic farm there for over 20 years. And they talked about how they noticed, you know, when the chemtrails started, they started to notice they could no longer see the big island. Every day they would get up, there's the big island in the mist, right? They could see the big island. Now they no longer can see the big island. All they see is this gray haze. And, you know, if you're an organic growing farm, you have to periodically, quite frequently actually, have your soil tested so you can prove to the FDA that you are basically, you know, organic. And so these people were saying how over time they noticed that their organic foods were not growing healthily, and they became very concerned. And of course, when the FDA came and did the studies of their soil, they started to notice aluminum, cadmium, nickel, mold spores, all kinds of weird stuff in their soil. It started to increase. And at the end of this interview with these people on the island there, the guy said, you know, we can no longer use organic seeds. What we can use that grows very well is GMO seeds. And Shaziz, I had been asking, who's going to gain from chemtrails? Who needs the chemtrails? Who needs this to happen to the soil and so on? Now, there's not just one piece here, because we'll get into others, reasons why. But it is basically, and he gave me the answer, yes, GMO seeds, that's all that will grow in this soil.
What a mess.
So now the other things, that who gains by spraying us with these poisons? Well, so now we're noticing the increases, okay? There's a lot of statistics that we're looking at. For instance, coronary heart disease is now the leading cause of death in the U.S., right? And in Canada, even 7 minutes, someone dies of a heart attack. Do you know that?
Well, not to mention the fact that here in the last at least 2 years that I know of, there has been a whole lot of individuals coming down with respiratory problems.
Everything. Well, I'm getting to that. This is number two, asthma and upper respiratory illnesses. So you have between 100 and 150 million people suffer from asthma worldwide. And in the United States, 16.4 million adults have asthma, and 7 million children. Chronic bronchitis and emphysema. 9.8 million Americans were diagnosed with chronic bronchitis this past year alone. And for emphysema, the figure is 3.8 million. So you have 37 million Americans are afflicted with this. And then in Canada, 2.4 million have been diagnosed with asthma. Now, then number three is particulate matter in air pollution. Particulate matter, PM, consists of tiny particles, 10 microns or less. 1 micron is about 1/70th the thickness of a single human hair. These particles can lodge in the deepest part of your lungs, and over a period of time they can damage lung function. This kind of pollution that we breathe daily can and does cause various upper respiratory illnesses, heart disease, and premature aging and death. So who needs this chemtrails? Who's going to gain from this? And I have to say that in the last year and a half, or maybe even two, there has been a strange rise and epidemic of an unusual respiratory thing that people are dealing with. It. I started calling it the chemtrail cough.
Yeah.
And I hear this chemtrail cough with newscasters on the radio or on TV. Amy Goodman was interviewing somebody a year ago. I was listening to her, and she started coughing and hacking her head off. Hillary Clinton, hello.
Yeah.
She's got this weird cough. Even the Queen, she had this weird, strange cough. She was in bed for I don't know how many weeks or months. And I say, yep. And I hear children. I'm be in the grocery store, and I hear some... this little girl, 4 years old, I guess she must be three or four, was coughing, hacking her head off. I recognize this particular cough, by the way, because I have experienced it. My grandson has experienced this. It's an unusual respiratory kind of cough. And the mother said to her friend, oh, she's been up all night for days. This cough has been going on for weeks, and the doctors don't know what it is.
Well, everything that I understand, and I did a video years ago called Poison Skies, where, you know, in there I was pretty much raising one heck of a ruckus, and I'm telling everybody, you know, this is not normal. And we tried to put the warning flags out way back when, you know, that's when they called you a tinfoil hat wearing nut. But, you know, after all those years and all the people that come in there and trolled that channel and mouthed off about that video, oh, you know, that's just, you know, contrails from, you know, ice in the engine in the cold atmosphere and such like that. And I'm saying, you know, look, I paid attention in science class, and I know doggone good and well, and I've seen it all my life. Whenever I was a child, the jets might leave a little bit of trail for a minute, but they always go away. But these don't go away. They just end up producing a murky cloud. And I'm saying to the people, I said, you're going to see a lot of stuff like what you just explained there in that deal. You're going to see a lot of people with respiratory problems. You're going to see plants dying off and all that kind of stuff. So it ain't like this is a new deal. But they, you know, everybody said it was a conspiracy. And then now the mainstream media comes out here and actually says the government admitted to spraying the stuff. And, you know, supposed scientists, you know, from universities talking about, well, we need to produce this shield to block out the global warming. Look, folks, this is criminal.
Well, there's a thing, yeah, aerosol crimes, this one writer calls the aerosol crimes, but what you just said reminded me of the idiocy of this whole thing. So they've manifested the scare of global warming, and now so problem solution, here we go. They've manifested this global warming scare, and now they've given us the solution. So now it's okay. Everybody says, oh, well, they're helping us by spraying these chemicals in the sky to protect us from global warming. So it's okay now. After all, this is a Harvard professor, and the government has given him, lots of money to do this.
Yeah, and what really makes me mad about this whole deal, one of the reasons why mad science is in existence, is back whenever they were doing all this stuff, you know, first they talked about the hole in the ozone layer from Freon and hairspray, which was the biggest hockahooey up until global warming. Then when the global warming came on the scene right there, and I start telling everybody, you know, it's the science is BS, but everybody thought I was crazy. And I've been hollering about how, you know, these guys who supposedly care about the world and trying to save the planet are into this whole global warming / climate change reducing your footprint kind of deal, and I'm sitting there telling them how you could actually build clean renewable alternative energy sources that wouldn't be doing it, but yet their best solution is to try to poison the doggone skies instead of paying attention to people who paid attention in science class. What, wouldn't you be mad after all those years?
Oh, I'm pretty mad.
Yeah, see?
I'm pretty mad, and you know, we all should be mad, because this is an agenda. It's a bigger agenda here. It all boils down to Agenda 21/30 that NATO, because NATO's involved here, because this is about global control. This is about New World Order. This is about getting everybody so sick. Now, you know, you have to say that this affects your brain functioning, because we're talking aluminum. Aluminum is a major component in these chemtrail aerosols. Now, I didn't know this, but our planet's most abundant metal is basically aluminum. But our body has no biological need for it.
No.
But there's a Pesticide Action Network of North America. They are saying that this list is a toxic, aluminum is toxic, including carcinogenicity, reproductive and developmental toxicity, neurotoxicity, and acute toxicity. So aluminum is commonly used where? This is a short list, but in vaccines, in deodorants, and antiperspirants, and over-the-counter medications, in soft drinks, in beer cans, aluminum leaches from the cans, baking powder, cake mixes, processed cheeses, and other food products and additives. So, you know what? Over years, you say, well, guess what? The government or the FDA gives you a percentage that you are allowed to eat of toxins or allowed to be in your foods. You know, this is a certain percentage that they actually allow. Let's say, let's just pick aluminum. Why do they have to have aluminum in our food, in your drinks, right? Whatever. Well, because they have it set up so that you can look and say, oh, well, they're allowing a certain percentage of this chemical in my food, and they're on it. So they only know that in this can here is this percentage of this toxic, you know, whatever. So that's okay. But guess what? It's the can that you took the beans out of. It's the deodorant that you used. It's the cake mix that you just made the cake for your kids out of. It's the cheese that you're eating. So you add all, you keep adding all this stuff, all these toxicities into your body over a period of time from the time you're a little person. What's going to happen?
Well, I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm trying to think of the lack of common sense is driving me freaking bonkers. Look, if you go in there in your bathroom or your medicine cabinet, wherever you keep your toothpaste, and you flip it over and you look on the back of it, it's telling you if you accidentally ingest this stuff, you need to call the poison control.
Yeah.
Why would you put that in your mouth?
Okay, we have another story that's the fluoride story.
Yeah.
So, okay, forget, you know, you got aluminum in there, and you've got fluoride there, and you've got this color, red dye number 2, by the way. So I got married in my 20s. I'm 74 now. And for very grateful to my in-laws, who were called in those days health food nuts. Okay, so they were very much on top of this. You know, they were reading Rodell's health books and all this stuff. And they kind of like clued me into this. So I was very conscientious when I went to the store. And there were certain additives that if there was anything in the food I was buying, I wouldn't get it. MSG, food coloring, red dye number 2, this dye, that dye. And I just put it back on the shelf. And I read this study about red dye number 2. It took people who were aware of this, and I could say these maybe be an action network of people who were trying to, do these studies and get rid of this crap in our food. It took them 20 years to get the FDA to agree that this was bad for you, that this was a carcinogen. 20 years. And when they finally came out, the FDA said red dye number 2 is a carcinogen and it will no longer be allowed in foods. Did they take the foods with this product, with this red dye number 2 off the shelves in your grocery store? No.
No, and to this very day, you can still find candy that people give to children has aspartame in it.
Yeah, oh, that's another wonderful story, aspartame. I'm just going to stick with the red dye number 2 because guess what? The corporations that put this crap in your food came up with another dye to take the place of the red dye number. They just named it red dye number 5. I don't know.
Huh.
And so here you have this is mad. Talk about madness. You have the FDA allowing these corporations to introduce the chemicals into our food, and they have to do, the companies have to do certain studies. Guess what? The people they hire to do the studies, they're paying to do the studies that basically cover up the serious issues of these chemicals. They introduce it to the FDA, and the FDA says, oh, you did a good amount of studies here. It looks okay. Okay, let's put it in the food.
Well, the FDA's the one's been passing things that all along, like there was something before aspartame, saccharin.
Saccharin.
You know? Yeah, there were... The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, I don't know what the heck they're thinking. I mean, they're supposed to, like, the EPA is supposed to be there to protect the people.
Well, they're
people.
Not thinking.
They're not.
They have an agenda, and they're basically getting paid off.
Yep.
I mean, let's be serious about this. This is nothing new. you know, I mean, no longer is your food clean, natural food. Let's face it. If you buy packaged food, you better look and see what is in that food. What are they putting in there? Remember BHA in your bread?
Yep.
In white bread, BHA happens to be a embalming fluid.
Ugh.
Okay, I'm just saying. And so you wonder why dementia is spiking up. You wonder why there are emotional outbursts, paranoia, forgetfulness, memory loss, speech incoherence, irritability, diminished alertness, changes in personality, poor and bad judgment. All these are on the rise, and we know this. We've talked about this. Brain deterioration and dementia take decades to cause serious invisible harm, right?
Yeah,
Alzheimer's.
There's a lot of products that were on the store shelves years ago that now, you know, even just something as simple as lead, you know, lead's pretty bad to the body, and there was toys back in the old days that, you know, contained lead and paints that contained lead, and you didn't find out about those till years later when they started going to other types of, you know, chemicals for painting your house and making toys or whatever like that. But after you learned about all that, then you should be able to have a change in what you do. You see what I'm saying? Like, once you know that these chemicals aren't good for you, if it's on the store shelves, they should have removed them right out of the gate. But they didn't. They wanted to sell off their product in the meantime. Oh, people will be all right, you know. It's all right.
Well, because it's only a percentage. It's a small percentage, so it's not going to harm them. But they're missing the big picture here, that the people are being loaded up with all kinds of these chemicals in varying foods. You know, the thing you cook with aluminum. I grew up, my mom had aluminum cookware. Who knew?
Yeah, mesothelioma and asbestosis was two of the terminologies that you heard later on when people were exposed to asbestos and fiberglass fibers and other stuff like that. And now, you know, you got those attorneys that'll go out there and, well, if you was exposed to this, then we can get you money or whatever. If your friend or family member died from this.
You know, MSG is another one. When I was a young mother, because I knew these things, because my in-laws, you know, got me on this stuff. I did more research myself. And I'm telling you, this is in the 60s. So I'm looking at all these things. And MSG was in baby food then. Gerber baby food. I made my own children's baby food. You know, they ate what I ate. I used a blender and so on and so forth. I made my own apple juice. I'd go out in the areas and find old apple orchards. I'd pick those apples. I made my own apple juice for my kids.
Yeah.
But MSG wound up to be eliminated from baby food after I don't know how many years it was in there, because it was actually causing deaths. But how long did it take them to do these researches and battle against that company that wanted to put MSG for better flavor, convenience, you know, I'm just saying.
That's why I'm always trying to tell the people out here the only way we're ever going to get anything changed is when we decide to do it ourselves. When you're tired of the governments of the world and corporations polluting your waterways and killing off your trees and kids and everything else under the sun, then the only change is going to come around when people stop accepting it. I mean, this whole global warming / climate change, had anybody that paid attention in school a long time ago, they'd be shouting out to all four points of the compass, because the technologies are available. We can take neon gas, which we use in a lot of little bitty bulbs right there, and neon gas is like really super easy to energize into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. And so there's a non-resistive heat source that we could actually use. And the whole key is, if you reduce your carbon footprint like they said you were supposed to, then there's no need to be spraying crud in the air. You see what I'm saying? That's why I'm upset, because
well,
the solutions are on
you're right.
The table.
And what I'm saying too is what you're talking about. People need to know, because we're in trouble. And so you got to look at this thing. Okay, so you have all these chemicals. People need to be aware of what is in their food. And I don't think, you know, you have people, middle income, poor people. I used to go into the grocery stores. I don't go too much, you know, only for certain things, but I work to eat organic as best I can, and I know it's a little bit more expensive. Somebody had an argument with me a while back as well. It's very expensive. And I said, well, guess what? When you get sick, it's really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you want to put your money? You want to put your money in your food or to the doctor?
And that's the majority of the people out there can't even afford modern-day health care. I mean, you go to the... Go look at the prices of what things cost in hospitals. I think at one time I heard a Band-Aid could cost as much as $5 for one Band-Aid. That's a big chunk of change for one little Band-Aid. You know,
well, it's a real crime. We are really living in a crime zone, or what they call it, a crime scene.
Well, I understand people want to make some doggone money, but they're doing it at the expense of not just you know, the average Joe. But you mentioned earlier some of the politicians and people on mainstream media got the hack and cough from this crud being sprayed around. These folks, they're not exempt from it. Even the global elite of the world are poisoning themselves. They may think they got a plan, but when you jack around with nature, nature's going to bite you back. That's it.
You know,
way worse.
You're right. You can't mess with Mother Nature, but they are messing with Mother Nature. And, you know, you have all these, by the way, spraying for mosquitoes and other insect eradication.
Yeah.
You know, we're being poisoned on that end, too. And not only we, but the bee populations and other necessary, you know, insect populations. So you have these... People have to ask, what's this spike in sickness and cancers? I've never seen so many cancers that children, babies, they're like born with these strange, unusual, never before seen brain tumors and all kinds of, sicknesses. This is unheard of. This is not natural.
I remember when I was a kid. There used to be this truck that would come down the neighborhood, go around the block every so often during the summertime. This truck would come down fogging up the neighborhood.
That's frightening, yep.
And they were spraying for mosquitoes back then.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Well, you got the dengue fever caused by mosquitoes in Africa. Guess what they did to resolve that? They went around with those trucks in the neighborhoods. Kids are standing on the side there on the street, and the big puffs of this deadly chemicals, they're breathing it in right there. And this is, you know, I mean, it's so maddening. It's so enormous that it's just unbelievable.
Well,
right? Y'all sitting there unbelieving what I'm saying.
How can you not get angry about that, you know? Most people...
All right, well, I'll tell you how you cannot get angry at this. Because people are so dumbed down by these chemicals all these years that they can't even think.
Yeah.
They have no cognition about this. They can't consciously think, and this is the whole idea, is to get people so complacent, to acquiesce, to comply to what is going on, that they just can't even think.
Yep.
And this is across the board. You've got the technology that's doing that. You've got the chemicals in the food, in the air, in the water. You've got in the food. You've got all this stuff affecting people's brain function and conscious, you know, connectedness here. So this is what we're talking about when you say, why can't people be mad about this?
Yep.
That's why. Why can't people wake up? That's why. And that's a deliberate... And you think, wow, what a conspiracy. This is beyond conspiracy. This is really wackadoodle stuff. Do your research.
This is like flat-out criminal. It's been this way for, even when I was a kid, like when they're going down through the neighborhood spraying that stuff out of there, did they know the long-term health effects of spraying that on the population? Maybe they did. Maybe that was the whole deal, keep you... you know, like you're saying, dumbed down and docile, so to speak, you know, so you ain't arguing with your government. Oh, you know, you can always trust your government.
Well, that's the whole thing. You will become complacent.
Yeah.
You know, we use the word sheeple, but it's worse than sheeple. I think we shouldn't attack the sheep, you know, the poor little sheeps. But, do you remember the hantavirus scare?
Yeah.
And here's a perfect piece about this. So years ago, I'm talking 10 or 12 years ago, there was a big thing happening on the reservations, okay, in the Southwest. I don't know whether it was Navajo, those poor people, the Navajo have been being attacked for all kinds of things as the Indian people, as well as we, all of us too. It's not just them. There was a hantavirus that appeared, and that was by mice were carrying this hantavirus where people were dropping dead. Okay, so the elders were saying, you know, the mice would never carry this. This is nature. Nature doesn't do this to the environment. And that's true. You know, these are implanted. These are improvised assaults, and what do they call it? What did I call it? The word... I forgot because I'd have to scroll back. The words that were stunning about, well, they're doing this to us to test us, right? Test our vulnerability. or our reactions. So this is all a big test. We are rats in the lab.
Guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs. So they're doing this as they have been for many, many years, not only here in our country on Turtle Island, but throughout the world. It's been known now. We see this again. Do your research that the governments throughout the world has done testing on their citizens. This is across the board. So this is really what we're up against. And, so listen to this here. It seems almost unbelievable that millions and billions of people could look up at the sky and not notice the dramatic changes that have occurred from what it once was.
Yep.
You know, for instance, in the mid-1990s, then our sky was a gorgeous deep blue. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember clouds were a beautiful assortment of shapes? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember the sun was glorious? Do you remember this? But listen, people under 30 may not have a real sense of recollection about looking up every day and seeing this panoramic magnificence. Yeah. You know, because most of them are too busy texting chatting.
Not only that is they were pretty much raised in the toxic world, you know. So that's all they ever knew. You know, we remember a day where you could actually go out there and lay in the grass without getting attacked by chiggers and all that kind of stuff, or ticks. Now
we never had ticks.
Yeah.
We never had ticks. Guess what? Here's another one. I love this, okay? Talk about implanted biological warfare on the people. So, let me see. Lyme, Connecticut. Okay, this is what we call Lyme disease. Comes from ticks.
Yep.
Lyme, Connecticut. Off the shores of Lyme, Connecticut is an island. Can't remember the name of it. Again, you can do the research. There was a lab there, a government lab, that was doing all kinds of freaky things. Freaky things. And people started to notice weird, you know, stuff going on, health stuff and all this strange stuff. There was a spike in certain health issues there in that particular area. There's a map, actually, that shows you. This is where tick-borne diseases began.
Yeah.
And apparently, they deliberately were working with a deer on that island to inject them with tick-borne illnesses to see how those deer would fare. What would have? Well, some of those deer left that island, swam across to the main island, right in that Lyme, Connecticut. You can do this research. It's mind-blowing. Love that word,
yeah,
mind-blowing.
People would see crazy-looking animals that were all distorted washing up on the seashore coming near those islands.
Yeah, tumors on these deers, gigantic tumors, and the animals just dropping dead. And anyway, the map shows that's where the hot spot was for Lyme disease in that community. And then it started to spread out, of course. Now we have Lyme disease jump the river, because I'm on this side of the Hudson River. Great big river, Mahikanituk means the river that flows both ways. I'm on the west side of this river, Connecticut's way over on the east side. And we never had ticks. We never had Lyme. Now it's an epidemic.
Yeah.
Now it's an epidemic. So they're testing everything on us. So this is our government, folks. And I'm sure your government is doing the same, because it's across the board, because this is about dumbing people down, sickening people so that they can't really function, that they're so debilitated that, guess what? If you say, oh, I can save you, I'm going to make it all better for you, you'll say, please, please, please do whatever you have to do.
Well, they, doggone health industry, which is supposedly there to do no harm, only supposed to help you out, you know, they're making a killing off of, look, quite literally, and that, pardon the pun, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're making a killing. They're making money hand over fist, because as more people are sick, the more money they make. And the hospitals these days, I don't know if anybody's recognized this or not, go to a hospital, they're normally packed, every bed's full, and there's a reason for it, you know? And so...
Well, here's the thing about people. Okay, so the technology has people trapped. It's called the internet.
Yep.
Interned. Because I was looking at this, I was realizing how people are so stuck. They're basically chained to this internet. And I was outside the way I do. I go outside and I talk to Creator and I ask, okay, what's happening here? What does this mean for our future and so on, right? How serious is this? And the answer came is the word inter was broken up in three syllables. Internet.
Yeah, enter the net and you're stuck.
Well, you are caught. You are basically, what do? When we intern somebody, we put them in a tomb.
It's a spider web.
Well, internment.
Yep.
Internment means you're burying somebody, and a net is when you catch a prey. Okay, you catch somebody and they're stuck in that net. This is what internet means, if you use it that way. So we have this interning of people's minds, emotional, physical, and by the way, spiritual, I'm going to say it, because it's all one. We are all that. We are body, mind, and spirit. So we have the internment of our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. You have the comfort zone, the false comfort zone, where people believe, oh, I'm comfortable because this isn't happening to me. It's over there somewhere, you know. So that's our comfort zone. But here's the thing. It does take a lot of courage and a very deep internal willingness to examine politically motivated, corporate-controlled, you know, media spin, political spin, religious spin, because it's all the same.
Yeah, and that's why I say all the time, and I know I probably make some people mad, but the environmentalists of this world are frauds. That's it, because where are they at? That's what I want to know. You know, these people will go out there and they'll protest on certain subjects, but something as epic as what we're talking about here, where are they at? We've called them to the radio show. I'm begging all these different people that are in these environmentalist activist groups and stuff, come here and hear what I got to say. We're talking about clean, renewable, alternative energy, but yet in the process of showing people that it already exists and the technology is available to resolve the subject of supposed carbon emissions to where you wouldn't have to be spraying crud in the air. When you spray that crud in the air, there's so many different side effects that are being overlooked, such as, for example, whenever I talk about how modern-day farmers, with all their good intentions, are putting nitrogen, heavy doses of nitrogen, using anhydrous ammonia, different types of fertilizers, and different types of pesticides and herbicides, and all that stuff down in that soil, when it rains, gets washed down through the waterways and gets up into like ponds and lakes and stuff like that. And if you go around and do a little bit of investigation and you start noticing this summer that there are lakes that are all green and mossed over and have duckweed and watermill just completely over that, you can follow that trail all the way back to one or two things. You'll follow it either to a golf course or you'll follow it to a farmer's field. All right, follow that waterway all the way back to the source and you'll realize that once those ponds get to the point where the nutrients is so ridiculously high in that water, I mean, it would probably be a super drink at that point because you got all these things that, you know, were full of nutrients, proteins and everything else like that washed out of the manure and the all the different stuff that they put on the farm fields and on the golf courses to make them have really beautiful lawns or whatever. But that stuff is throwing the ponds out of balance. And then when that watermill and that duckweed grows to such an extreme that the fish can't even eat it all fast enough because it's replicating every 24 hours, then it starts to block out the sunlight, which in turn breaks down the ecosystem inside that pond, and things start to die off, and the only thing that'll live in those types of ponds will be either turtles or frogs or the combination. Even crawdads won't live in that circumstance. They will actually dig their way to fresh water. And so, you know, if the crawdads are leaving the pond, that's a big sign right there. You know, crawdads normally cleaning the ponds up, but when the ponds get to a certain point where the toxicity of the water is beyond what they can stand, they'll start digging their way to fresh water. That's what they do. And so the whole entire system, you can follow back to the way that we use fertilizers, the pesticides, herbicides, and the stuff that they're spraying in the air. When you start breaking down the ecosystem, you're going to notice that you got a ridiculous amount of mosquitoes now because there's stagnant water everywhere, and mosquitoes love to live in stagnant water. They'll lay their eggs in there, go out and suck on your blood, come back and feed the larva, and the mosquito population gets ridiculously high.
Hey, you know what? It's a fun world we live in.
Yeah.
But I have to say that don't despair.
We can't be the only one who sees it, though.
I don't think we are, but here's the thing. I talked about the internet, and you know, the internet can be used for good.
Yeah.
I'm talking about internet, like when you are dumbed down with the internet and you're listening to mainstream media and you're believing all the lies and the political lies and the manipulation, you know, all coming from every direction, you know. But we can, with the use of the internet, okay, and our intellectual powers before we get so dumbed down by the chemical trails.
Yeah.
Right? We have to come together. We have to shut this nightmare down. And it is possible to do this, and that's why we're doing this show.
Yeah. It's to basically to raise awareness to the whole deal and to point out that, you know, the whole thing is everybody's seeking solutions. That was the big phrase for all the networks way back, was seeking solutions. And we're sitting there saying, their solutions are right there. They've been there all along. We've been pointing them out all along. You know, I had a lot of people back in the old days with mouthing off at me and telling me, well, you know, all you'll ever do about anything is talk about it, and you know, we don't never see any solutions, you know. I guess they're wanting us to not only share the information, but to do the work for them, and that ain't how it works. Everybody pitches in. There's all kinds of research, all kinds of links available, and anything that you hear on here, you can check it out. And if you find something contrary to what we're saying, then you can come here and you can actually get on the microphone and share your opposing view. I'm sitting here asking, where are all the environmentalists when we got probably one of the worst environmental disasters in the history of mankind being perpetrated under the fraud of global warming / climate change, and the environmentalists who are actually activists out there, you know, supposedly protesting against the system that's polluting everybody's waterway, they're nowhere to be found. Now, if there's some sort of special thing that they want done, you can find them. You don't hear them here on Mad Science. I ain't never seen an activist show up here on Mad Science and say, you know, hey, what you're saying makes sense to me. You know, how do we implement this idea or whatever? I'm sitting here saying that there's a different way to use energy than what we use now, where you wouldn't have to burn all the coal and build nuclear power plants and all that kind of stuff, where you could actually make things so environmentally friendly that you ain't even got no carbon emissions. So that solves the whole you don't have to spray in the air anymore. That's what they said they were doing it for. The hole in the ozone layer scam way back in the day. People don't even know what the heck ozone is or how it's even created. Basic science should have taught you that when you was in high school. You know, there's lightning bolts flying all over this planet because we're on a thermoelectric generator of epic proportions, a self-contained biosphere that if left to do what nature normally does, and you're working perfect harmony with it, it will continuously rejuvenate itself. It'll continuously rejuvenate the ozone layer, which when that lightning goes flashing across the sky, is superheating the hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen and other things and producing ozone that keeps the bad radiations from the sun out. And so if you help nature, you don't have to spray crud in the air. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, we know how to make an ozone generator. That ain't hard to do, but nature's already done it, so how you gonna improve on that? All we need is for individuals out there to get proactive in their communities and tell the leadership, look, we don't want you doing this. And now that the cat's out of the bag and they're saying they're really spraying, then that should have everybody at their town council meetings. It should have everybody at their government meetings, and they should be saying, look, we don't know any possible long-term health effects. In the meantime, until you get your research out there on the table where we know for a fact that this ain't making our children sick, then you need to stop it. That's what the whole deal is.
I just popped a link into a YouTube link here for people. If you want to hear more about this, get more clarity about what we're talking about, it's called The Invisible Empire. It's about the New World Order defined in full. And this is what I'm talking about, is this New World Order and the false global warming issue. The controlling of the populations all over the world. It's not just here, all over the world, for the false global warming scare. How to basically confine us. They're going to confine us right here. The federal government here in the United States is buying up land, lots of land. That's against the law. The federal government should not own land. You know, they want to control all the land. They're making it hard for small farmers to really continue farming. We have GMOs. We have the pesticides, continual pesticides, the rise in the GMO seeds, and all other controlling factors. We have the water wars, going on. All these things, by the way, were predicted by our elders about the water wars, talking about someday everybody, there will be wars over water. So we have all these things happening to us, and they're herding us like the sheep, basically, into a corral. It's going to be a very small corral. The agenda to depopulate, what they are saying is overpopulation, which is another false thing, overpopulation. Water issue, there's no water, you know, Cape Town is running out of water, yeah. Or has by now ran out of water. There's not enough food to go around. Those people over there are your enemies. This is a big ploy here. This is a big agenda that we're talking about, right? Well,
there's one other thorn to the briar patch, and it comes in the form of transhumanism and artificial intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
When your body can no longer live in a toxic environment, they're going to say, well, look at here, we can install this respirator on all the humans, and they can actually breathe this, you know, the stuff or whatever. And so whether you want to be a half machine or half robot or not, I can see a future where you ain't got a choice. If you want to live, then you're going to have to take a few, things. Maybe even a chip in your brain to keep you in line or happy or, they actually...
You better pay attention to this chip thing.
Yeah?
Guess what? Okay, I just moved on to people... to people chat here, so I just want to say hello everybody on people to people. So thanks for tuning in. So here's the thing, the chip. Okay, I'm going to say about 15, maybe 16 or so years ago, I received guidance from spirit and from the elementals that are helping me ever since I was a child. Okay. This is the way I grew up. I was born with what we call a caul, C-A-U-L. It's a sort of a veil over the skin of the infant, or we call it a web or a veil, which is removed, of course, immediately and now today thrown away. But in the old country, and I'm going to say the old country, but I mean my people over there in Ireland and England and so on, they knew this caul, what this meant when a child was born that way, that they will be a visionary, that they will receive prophecies and so on, right? They will be able to see things and know things and understand things that the ordinary folks don't. So that's how I was born. And so I receive certain information and guidances, and I have a really high level of a truth meter. I call it the truth meter, which basically, energetically, you can sort of sense, and this is about our sensory perceptions. We all have them, but the chemtrails, the fluoride, and all this stuff in our food has dumbed down, or let's say affected our truth meter, affected our sensory abilities, which are gifts given to everyone, yep. Okay? It's not a thinking process. It's a sensory experience, which is the key element to truth, all right, or discerning the truth. So I got this message that there was going to come a time when we would all be required to get a chip. All right, so and I spoke about this to some people, and of course they all looked at me with raised eyebrows and like, yeah, right, okay. Now here we are today. People are lining up to get chipped. And so guess what this is for? This is for convenience.
Yeah, so you can get in your house, put this in your hand, all you gotta do is wave it in front of the machine and you can get in, and if you ain't got it, you can't get in.
Well, that's where it's gonna get worse, because they're setting this up so you won't be able to get food. You won't be able to get anything that you need to survive without that chip. Mark my words, mark of the beast, they're calling this. I don't know if that is the mark of the beast, because I don't know. Maybe the mark of the beast is going to be something different. I don't know. But people are saying this is going to be the mark of the beast, and now we see it. It started out with, oh, let's chip your little cocker spaniel, because somebody might steal your cocker spaniel, or he'll get lost, and all we have to do is have a chip.
Yeah, they can find out who your dog belongs to, whatever.
And the next level it went to was the kids, because people were abducting kids. Yeah. Oh, let's chip your baby when it's born. Now hospitals are actually telling parents, I can chip your baby. That way, if anybody happens to abduct your baby, well, what's rising in our countries, in our cultures, is abductions of children.
Yeah.
All right, so we have that. Problem, solution. Problem, children are being abducted. Solution, get a chip. People are lining up to do that. Now you have adults, adults, I'm going to say, lining up to get chipped. Because, yeah, they can get into their business, they can use the copy machine, and they can get into these spiffy, unique, closed nightclubs if you have a chip. What's the next level? We know what the next level is going to be. The next level is, okay, guess what? And they're working, moving us towards that now, too. You know, you can't get from here to there without a chip. You can't get food. You won't get water. You won't get what you need, gas at the gas station, without a chip. What's this going to do to us? What is that chip in your body going to do? Well, you'll sure be on the radar, won't you?
Yeah, you couldn't walk anywhere without being tracked, man. You know, it just drives me insane because...
Oh, you know, it's like we're living in one of those bad movies. What is it called? I don't know.
I was saying that the other day. I was talking about how you're sitting there and you're watching these people on the movie doing stupid stuff, and you're sitting there yelling at the TV, which is kind of ridiculous in itself, but nonetheless, you're trying to warn them. And no matter what, these people continuously do stupid stuff that continuously causes nothing but trouble. And so I'm thinking, you know, life imitates art. What you're seeing on TV, that's the average Joe. The average Joe, you go over there and tell them, hey, they're spraying stuff in the air, and they look at you all cross-eyed, and they ain't tell the monsters actually chewing on their neck that they realize that you were telling the truth. But in the meantime, you're sitting there trying to warn somebody, and all they're saying is something totally stupid, and they're not hearing you. They're not hearing what you had to say. And we've been sitting out here for years talking about all the problems of the world, but we've also been posting solutions to the problems of the world. You can't rely on the governments to do anything to fix any of the deal, because they're the ones making the mess. The corporations, they don't care about health and safety. I mean, if they did, they wouldn't go to places like Mexico and Korea and Taiwan and different places and build factories and pollute their waterways and toxify their land and stuff like that. They do it because they can get by with it over there. They don't have an EPA over there like they supposedly do here in the United States, but even in the United States it's bad. But the solutions to resolve the environmental hazards of the world, they're right there in front of us. And you can't get enough people to realize that the true power lies in the hands of the people, And the change is never going to come around until the people get off their booties and do something about it. I know that sounds harsh, but that's reality. You know?
Grandma, well, it's a sad state of affairs. It's a really a nightmare. It's really a bad movie. But I don't know. I mean, I'm a researcher. I'm an investigator. I'm an earth person. I'm a mother, a grandmother, a sister, an auntie. I'm a spiritual person who is very deeply involved in the Lakota tradition because I'm adopted Lakota. Plus, I'm Nantichoke, Lenape, Delaware, born into that. I'm Celt. I've got all a bunch of stuff inside of me, but I'm ultimately an earth person, as you all were as well, you know. Once upon a time, it's like a fairy tale, a long time ago, the whole world had all people of color, black, red, yellow, and white. And we were sacred children, born sacred children onto this paradise, this Mother Earth that gave us everything. Creator gave us everything we ever needed. Clean water, clean air, the fruits, the berries, the medicines, the Pajutawakan, we call them, the sacred medicines for health. Everything we ever needed was here.
Yeah, still is. Still is.
Yep. It still is, and that's the whole point. So it's not hopeless.
My grandfather said that if you want something done, you get up and do it yourself because that's how it gets done, you know?
Well, that leads me to the... I sent you this little link to the tyranny of convenience, right?
Yeah.
You just gave a little point there where your dad or your grandpa said, "Do if something needs done, get it out, get doing it and do it," you know? Yeah. So the tyranny of convenience, we're looking at that today because the chip is convenient, you know? All these other things, the technologies and so on and so forth, and the way our lives are, the microwave oven is convenient, but it will kill you, by the way, while you're making your food, you know? And so on and so forth, we have this right across the board. The transhumanism, if you get parts of a robot, an artificial intelligence stuck in your brain or your body, which they're heading us towards, that's going to be convenient. Yeah. Also, you will be a superpower person. You won't have illnesses. You won't have problems. You won't have issues. You're going to be a superpower, but you won't have a soul.
That's right. You'll be jacked into the machine, and that machine's going to be part of your... everybody one mind, a hive mentality. You can't think for yourself. Your free will's gone, and if they don't like your attitude, they just shut your chip off. How you like that?
Yeah, shut your chip off.
Yeah, I don't want to give anybody
shut your chip off.
That kind of power over me. You know, I might be a rebel. I don't know. I want to make my own choices, but. So
we say the government's doing this, the military's doing this, the Kabbalah's doing this, the elite is doing this, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, George Soros, you know, whomever is doing this. Well, who's behind it? Because that's got to be my question always. It's not such an easy thing. There's a hidden something going on here. There's a hidden something. When I look at all this stuff, you know, Shaziz, that we're dealing with, just like the chemtrail sprays, the chemicals in our foods, the destruction of the forest, the clear cutting of the forest, the corruption of the nature. When I look at all that, I have to ask the question, okay, it's not just Monsanto, it's not just the Rothschilds, it's not just the cabal, the elite, the Illuminati. Who is running all this mess? What is running all this mess? And I have to look at the mess itself. I say, this mess is terrifying. This mess is so dark and so evil. Who would it be that is propagating this, who is perpetuating this evil stuff that we are dealing with? The only answer I come up with, that there is an entity. You can call it the devil. You can call it the sorcerers. You can call it Lucifer. Whatever you want, it exists. You know, and this is what we're looking at today. The things that are happening with people, with humanity, you know, political, all across the board, there is a manipulator here that has an agenda to destroy what I call sacrosanct, what is Creator's gift of beauty, sacredness, life, you know, and so on. Who would hate that? Who is it that would hate that?
Yeah, I understand that, but that's where the people actually have to come into play, because they have to realize their true power, and that's the whole point. This stuff's only done to you because we allow it. You know, that's the only reason why.
That's true. But you know what? Let's not blame each other and ourselves here, because I'm going to say you're right on some level. But now I'm talking generations that this has been going on, that our relatives, our ancestors have acquiesced to this, have fallen into this deep place. It was incremental.
Yeah.
Let's say, so you just start a little piece here, you expose the people, the nations or the people, to this little piece. It's just a tiny piece. And some people might say, oh wow, that seems to be wrong, or what the heck are they doing? Okay, and then something else comes along that distracts you, which is part of the agenda. Let's keep the people distracted so that they cannot wake up, so that they acquiesce, so they finally comply. You know, so the complying has been generations and generations and generations prior to where we are today. So I think we have to look at that very clearly, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. You know, but by the time the chip is in everybody's brain or whatever, that's when it's too late. Right now, you still have an option to use your own mind. And
that's right.
You got to do it.
That's why we're talking about this crazy stuff. Because if you say that's going to be impossible, well, check out. Just Google people lining up to get chipped. The plan for future chipping and artificial intelligence and so on and so forth. This is what's happening. So we're just not talking through our hat here.
That's right.
You know,
and they'll even tell you on TV about it. They're talking about tattoos that you can get. You know, that are actual circuit boards. You can do all kinds of stuff with these tattoos. And they're saying they can actually embed them in your skin and stuff like that for your convenience. And so you don't have to worry about somebody stealing your money out of the bank, which shouldn't be a problem if you use the technology available already anyway. But nonetheless.
Well, who in their right mind, I just have to ask, and then the words right mind has to come to play here. Who in their right mind would line up to get some kind of a mechanism of technology, tiny, tiny little grain, rice grain size chip implanted in their body?
Yep.
Because the words right mind is key.
Well, now that's why I'm putting a holler out for all the people who, you know, really care. You know, the so-called environmentalist, I'm inviting them to come over here to Shaziz Radio. Join me in the chat room. Throw out all your problems. Tell me what it is that needs to be resolved. If we can't find a solution in today's day and age with the access to the knowledge that we have before us, then, you know, all hope is flat out lost, because if you can't find it out here on the internet, then you ain't looking hard enough, because we find the solutions all the time. Everything from all different types of alternative medicines that were natural cures in history, that now, you know, they got to go to a synthetic chemical to mask the symptoms of a cold, when there was probably a plant that you could have used back in the day that was healthy for you and would do the same exact job, but potentially even cure the common cold. Here we're in the year 2018, and people still running around buying cold medicine because they can't. Read the label on the stuff. It tells you there's possible side effects. If you have this problem, call your doctor immediately. If you notice any rash or bleeding or dizziness or whatever, or don't drive.
Or liver failure.
Yeah.
Or kidney failure. Well, so the pharmaceutical is another issue. We have a rise in ADD and ADHD of the children.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about this years ago. I've written about this in my book. This is an assault upon our children's natural, basically the natural function of a child. You know, when you have a child, you bring him to school into that system. You know, you have to sit there. Could you sit there all day like a little stone and not want to move around or not want to talk or, you know, You have the chemicals in the foods that these kids are being subjected to, which is causing them to be antsy and agitated. Then you have the video games, and you have the cell phones, and you have all this stuff that are affecting the functioning of the brain. And then when the kid is in school, he becomes a problem.
Yeah, he's so bored.
He's bored. Yeah, he's bored, but he's also being agitated by the brain functioning, wanting more stimulation.
Yeah, that too. And that's the whole thing. In the educational system alone, if you figure out creative ways to teach people and make it interesting for them to learn, see, here's the difference. Modern day science, it's like read from the textbook. It's all like, it's like terrible, boring stuff. But back when I was going to school, we did hands-on experiments. We actually messed around with chemicals and learned all kinds of stuff, but it was all hands-on. Nowadays, they got these books that almost look like college books for grade school kids. And, you know, when you're sitting there and that's all you're doing is trying to memorize and repeat stuff like that, you come out of school, you ain't even got an education. The majority of the kids that come out of school these days with a high school diploma can't even get a doggone job unless there's a college degree attached to that, and then even those college degrees ain't enough to get you a job anymore.
Well, it's a piece of paper that you paid a lot of money for that you stick in a black frame and put it on your wall.
Yeah.
That says that you are now an authority on this particular issue or whatever, but I want to talk about something a little bit different here about this ADD, ADHD, this rise of this. By the way, the person, the doctor who started this whole thing, actually finally came out and said that is not a real diagnosis, okay? That was just manipulated, basically, diagnosis. So it's about pharmaceuticals, really.
Yeah, Sel Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox, there's a couple other names like that, but if you follow all of those brands back to its original source, there's actually a patent that the guy that invented PCP, which is a horse tranquilizer, offshoots of that are Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox, and several other synthetic deals to basically mellow you out. A horse tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Think
well,
about
the,
it.
The issue with this is that very young children are being given these drugs, these pharmaceuticals, and well, it's not just you're given one of these, okay, Ritalin, okay, because Ritalin creates the suicidal and depression. So if a child has issues, they go back, the mom takes them, dad takes them back to the doctor who prescribed this stuff without even asking the parents any questions. Pretty much this is what's happening. There's actually a film about this. I can't remember the title of it. It's a documentary about ADD, ADHD, the rise of this. And in this documentary, it was pretty stunning because it followed a couple of families, right? This one mother, single mother, had this boy 8 years old who was a problem in school. He was falling through the cracks and blah, blah, blah. Well, so throughout the documentary, they're looking at these different families with these children. This little boy, 8 years old, was on at least 8 pharmaceuticals.
Wow.
Every day. Mom lined him up on the kitchen cabinet, and this little boy, 8 years old, had to take 8 of these pharmaceuticals. She described how that happened. You know, he was given Ritalin initially because the teachers contacted them and said that your boy is a problem. He can't sit still, he interrupts, he's at blah, blah, blah. So they said you have to take your child for psychoanalysis, right?
Yeah.
This is what the schools are doing because they don't want to be bothered. Just get the kid to shut up and stifle the kid.
Now, essentially, the kid's sitting in class and now he's higher than a kite.
Higher than a kite?
Yeah.
Well, so what happened was, so the mother said we went to the psychologist and he basically sat there immediately when we walked in the door with a pad, a prescription pad. He wrote out a prescription immediately and said, I want you to give your boy this, you start that, blah, 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 and come back and see me in 2 weeks. Never asked what's really going on. What is the household like? what are you feeding your kid? Where's the water? What's the water that you drink? So this boy, after 2 weeks, she came back to the psychoanalyst and she said, well, he's having this issue, this is going on, he can't sleep. So this doctor whips out his prescription pad, says, well, here, I'm writing this prescription, this will help with that issue. Take that, get that to your boy, come back and see me in 2 or 3 weeks. So this went on until basically he's on 8 different pharmaceuticals, but I'm watching this mother. She's talking in the kitchen, they're filming her live on this documentary, and the boy's eating at the table. He's wolfing down these, something she took out of the microwave oven, like a corn dog, yeah. Right? So he's wolfing these down, stuffing his face. Now, this is a little chubby guy. She said, well, he's gained so much weight since he's been on these pharmaceuticals. His hunger, he can't satisfy his hunger. On the table is a huge bottle of Gatorade. Like, I think it was purple. Or the color of, what's that stuff you put in your antifreeze?
Yeah.
And I'm screaming my head off. I'm sitting in my room by myself, like a crazy person, and I'm screaming my head off, saying, what are you feeding your child? What on earth is wrong with you? Because this is the chemical, filled with chemicals, that is affecting this boy's, you know, cognitive connectedness, awareness, his whole physical self, his spiritual self, his mind. And he's on 8 drugs, 8 different pharmaceuticals, and I felt sorry for this child. I felt sorry for the mother.
Yeah, he's jacked up on uppers and downers and quaaludes and reds. And yeah, I know it's not nothing to laugh at, but if you think about what's actually in the diet of people these days, I mean, sodas with caffeine, and people are actually running around drinking those energy drinks that are just cram packed with sugar and caffeine, and they're wondering why, you know, they're always hyper.
Yeah, and other colorings and chemicals. But I have to say, okay, look, this is a lot to deal with, you know, but you don't have to go buy Gatorade.
No?
I'm sorry, you just cannot, don't have to go buy that Gatorade. You don't have to put saccharin or whatever they're using now in the supposedly a sweet. You don't have to buy food to put in a microwave. You know, you can cook something real for your child and your family.
Well,
but this is the tyranny of convenience that we're talking about. It's convenient for that mother to take her son to a psychiatrist who writes out a script, 8 scripts for that boy. It's convenient for her because the school says they need this to happen. So instead of standing up and refusing to take our child to the psychoanalyst, get your child out of that school.
Yeah.
You know?
There are some people who will actually force the parents into doing that, you know.
Well, that's what they did to her. They forced her. They said, if you don't do this, he can't come back to school. I would have said, good.
Yeah, homeschool.
I'm not going to send him to school. I'm gonna homeschool him.
Yeah, that's what should have been done. You know, if you look at your average family these days, they're running around like chickens with their head cut off, just trying to race the clock and get to pay this bill and pay that bill, pick up the kids, and school turned into a babysitter instead of a educational system, and all they do is get indoctrinated when they get there. Something's really wrong with society, folks.
Well, I have to say, and I'm sorry to say this, but that's part of the agenda, is to get the people, the parents, separated, divorced, the family attacked, the parents non-available, the children on their own, the children under the government, thumb. You know, all this stuff is part of this, and it takes a lot of courage to change old habits and old patterns and to get out of that system. It does take a lot of courage, and you need help with that. You need community. You need people who, you know, will help and support and so on and so forth. And these are the changes that people need to start thinking about, you know?
It used to be a case where the dad could go out and be the primary breadwinner and mom could take care of the house and the kids, and they'd work together and have enough money to, you know, try to live decently. And nowadays it takes 2 people just to, you know, work just to keep up with the bills, insurance, health insurance, life insurance, all electricals and energy bills that come in, and you know, houses and all the different products that they're trying to sell you constantly. I mean, people need to figure out some way to find a much more simpler life. And the solutions to at least one of the problems out there in the energy field, that's I'm sitting here pointing out tons of different ways to where you could become so incredibly energy efficient. This world could become so incredibly efficient. You'd solve a bunch of issues all in one shot. Number one, people would be able to afford their electric bill. You know, if you're going to be paying electric bill, you might as well be able to afford it. But if you're getting $200-$300 and up light bills, I heard a guy, a friend of mine in Australia, said his light bill was $1,250 a month. I'm like, my God, what, do you live in a mansion? He's like, no, it's just a studio apartment.
I'm well, like, that's crazy. You know, I have a lot of faith, and I always say to people, when we address these issues that we're talking about today here, this is reality. You can believe it or not. I'm not telling you you have to believe it. I'm saying this is what I have found out. These are my personal experiences. This is the knowledge given to me, same as you. Do your own research. We're not advocating that anyone believe us. But I'm also saying to people, you know, what the piece here that is so important, and I talk about the faith, you know, that I have the strength, and we call that the spiritual foundation. You know, so I say to people, you need to get your spiritual garden or your spiritual foundation strong because of you're going to need that.
Yep.
And my elders had told me that too a long time ago. We need community. We need our water. We need our gardens. You know, we need our land. And sometimes people can't get that, but you can find community and you can grow gardens now, foods in your windows. If you can't have land, if you don't have land, you can use, you know, your tub to grow hydroponics, you know, or little plastic tubs and whatever. You can do this. It does take an effort. It does take a determination. It does take courage. It does take resistance against the system that is really working against us. Right. And we are not alone. I think I tell people, you know, you're not alone out there. We can do this. And I feel the spiritual battle here is what I have to address. Because it is a spiritual battle. It's about our health, our well-being, the health and well-being and protection of the earth, of our water, of our children, our grandchildren. So, you know, the spiritual self is a key piece here. You need something. I don't care whether it's a tree.
Yeah.
Whether it's a great old, one of the old trees, you know, or whether it's the plant people, whether it's, you know, a four-legged animal, or if it is God or creator or whatever you want to call it, you know, it's like you have to have something. You have to have that spiritual strength, that spiritual connectedness, you know. Otherwise, what are you going to rely on? What is going to keep your strength? You need that. You need that something that no matter what, you have this peace. You know, I happen to say that it is my creator. It's Great Spirit, you know. And I have had many miracles happen in my life. So therefore, I know that the existence of this miracle maker, I'll call it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's really important for people to start doing is start networking in your own communities, people that live nearby you. You know, get to know them, learn their talents, and you know, share resources with them and get together in groups and learn about hydroponics and aquaponics for growing fish and food. And you can, like Barbara mentioned, you could do this in your windowsill. You know, if you live in a city style apartment, whatever, if the sun shines through your window, then you can grow food right there. And if all your neighbors on the same side of the building are using that sunlight to grow food, you guys can share your resources together. So there's options available to get, you know, natural foods and remedies, you know, in your diets and stuff like that. And if you live in a place where you don't get a whole lot of sunlight, there's all kinds of technology for different types of lighting systems that people have been using for a long time to grow things with, you know. And so the options, you know, they're all out there. But you got to get together with your neighbors and your friends and the people in your community. Sit down and write out a list with the people in your community, all the problems that they see. You know, we're running low on fresh water. How can we improve on our water quality and stuff like that? There are all kinds of natural ways to build water filtration systems, and even utilizing that duckweed and water mill that I had mentioned earlier. That stuff is one massive filtration system that pulls toxins out of the water. So if you understand how you can use that as a benefit, as opposed to it's just killing off your pond, you can make a pond specifically for filtering water that goes prior to whenever you have a pond that you want to actually grow fish that you intend on eating in. You can use what nature's already taught to not only filter your water, but give you the energy needed to, do all kinds of things. And natural fertilizers as opposed to, chemicals that you can go to the hardware store and buy. That's the key. But the only way you're going to get that resolved is to actually bring other people in your community into the network. That's it. I mean, you got some brilliant individuals that probably live right down the street from you. Somebody knows how to weld. Somebody is a good electrician, an electronics engineer. Somebody knows about water quality and filtration. Somebody knows about gardening. You get you a group of individuals, even if it's only 5 or 10 people in your community, and work together towards solutions. That way you don't have to rely on corporations or governments to resolve things, and you can do it yourself. That's the whole key. You have access right now. If you want to know how to work on your car, Google it. You'll find videos out there on YouTube. People show you how to step-by-step work on something. And so you have this tool available to you. You can either use it to go out and cuss each other out, or you can use it for a good purpose and help your community. The answers are there, and they've been there all along. I've been trying to share every bit of ideas. Stephen Gibbons, who shows up in the chat rooms all the time, he's a good person, built a resource page. So if you're on shazizradio.com and you jump over to the superchat.html, scroll up right up above the radio player and you'll see Stephen's resource page. This man has taken his own personal time to go out there and gather up tons of information. If you can't find it on that page, you can find it in the chat room or contact anybody that's doing radio shows or whatever. The information, if you're looking for it, it's out there, and one of these researchers will find it for you. There's alternative energy research galore. People like Russ from RWG Research and Mark Brash over at Zero Fossil Fuels, those are links that are posted on there. If you look all over shazizradio.com, you'll find links to alternative energy researchers, teslamaker.com, people like Lid Motor and Laser Saber. We're always posting their videos in the chat room. Sky Collections, another researcher out there. He does all kinds of stuff with different types of coil systems and circuitry. And as far as efficiency, man, I tell you, if anybody's ever gonna stumble onto the holy grail of how to use energy, that's gonna be the guy, because his research is brilliant and he's got really good craftsmanship in everything that he makes. But these are the kind of people that we're talking about. They're out there. They're all over the internet. And if you find a researcher out there that you trust and believe in, support them any way you can. You know, if you can support them financially or actually, get together and join a group with them, then do that. You know, share resources with one another. If I got a tool that you need, I'm more than happy to get the tool to you so that you can, get things accomplished. You know, we don't just talk here on ShazizRadio.com. We're putting solutions on the table. I'm constantly doing research. There's over 200 and some odd videos on my YouTube channel of all kinds of different stuff. And, even though I got a creative way about how I present the information, it's good information. You know, I show all these little anomalies and get the mind to thinking. If you see these things that are going on in these videos right there, and you take them past and see how far that you can push them, You'd be surprised at how far you could go. These experiments that I'm doing with transformers and circuitry is to try to get the maximum amount of efficiency with the least amount of input, getting the most amount of work done. Now, is it going to be zero point or over unity or perpetual motion? I'm not claiming that. What I'm saying is energy is free, always has been free. Nature's provided all the power that you could ever use in a trillion, trillion lifetimes. And it's up to us to tap into that energy and do it in such a manner that not only are we working in perfect harmony with nature, but we're doing it at such an efficient rate that you're not polluting the planet to begin with. And if these folks are out there feeling it necessary to spray the air with toxic chemicals that are going to come back to bite humanity in the backside, so to speak, and there's a solution available to reduce the doggone carbon footprint from the get-go, then that's the direction where they should be going instead of poisoning the planet. That's what I'm saying. That's why I call it mad science. There are all kinds of options.
I'm here. I'm looking at the chat room here on People to People and noticed that neutrons, protons, electrons just put up that he's being inundated with chemtrails. And so I asked him, where are you living? I meant to say, where are you living? And so, because we talked about, that's what we opened our show with, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, he's being inundated wherever he's living. I don't know where that is. He's not yet given me information on that. But anyway, so apparently the chemtrails are spreading around, of course, and I've noticed it, like I said, the last couple of days, and particularly because of snow coming in. And what they do is they go right over the sun with these chemtrails. As the sun is rising, they start in the horizon in the east.
You know what? I would like to ask everybody out there, I don't care which country you're from, all right? I would like you to go to any of your local representatives, the ones who you know are supposed to be representing you in the congresses and senates and parliaments and stuff like that, and I would like you to invite them to join me on the radio show, and so that I can sit here and point out to them the solutions. So they can hear it, and I'll explain it to them in a way that they can understand that there is alternatives to the madness that you're seeing with them spraying in the sky. If you
want That's right.
your senators, your congressmen, if you can get them to join me on this radio show just to hear me out, or find a podcast where I've mentioned this before that you think would be interesting, that they would listen to, and give them a MP3, a copy of it, so that they can say, look, you're supposedly my representative. Would you humor me long enough just to listen to this guy and these gals talk on this show and hear what they're saying? Because go ahead.
You have the answers is what you're saying, and you know, so neutron, proton, electron says he's in Scotland, okay? Which I kind of figured, but I wanted to make sure. So here we are in Scotland, and here we are in the United States, Turtle Island, being inundated with chemtrails simultaneously. Interesting, right?
Yeah, well, if they want a resolution to the so-called climate change, I give them the resolution. I'm telling them, it's so ridiculously simple, but... Look, because I don't have a white lab coat and a sheepskin or a piece of paper that's on the doggone wall that says that I'm this genius, that my information isn't good, my information came from their information and all the other informations out there, combined years and years worth of study and research on all kinds of different subjects, anything that is scientific, all right? And I paid attention in school. And so common sense has to play out at some point in the game. Now, if they're going to spend millions, if not billions of dollars, flying these planes around, not only putting crud back in the atmosphere with the plane itself, but spraying out the crud that they're supposed to be using to fight the same crud that they're spitting out of the plane, that where's the common sense in that? That's ridiculousness.
Oh, by the way, they're using our money, aren't they?
Yeah. If it's the taxpayers' money, then surely somebody should be held accountable. Have your representatives contact me on Skype and just have a conversation with me. Let's do a town hall meeting or something. You know, I'm not the only guy out here that's got the answers. I got, you know, a lot of research and a lot of good ideas that if these folks would take the time to listen to, we could start implementing them. You know?
Yeah, you know, so let's talk about something. Let's talk about this. Can we do something, at all of us collectively?
Yeah.
How much power do we have? And I'm not talking about, I hear you talking about your technology and all that stuff. That's one piece. It's very, very important. But so those that might not be able to build these things or get connected in that way, what do we, let's talk about frequencies.
Well, here's the thing. Tesla way back in the day was talking about how to transmit wireless energy. You know, some people scoffed at the idea, transmitting wireless energy. Yet here we are with cell phones and repeater towers and satellite TV and all that kind of stuff doing exactly what Tesla said, and they're all based off of different frequency ranges. There are multiple spectrums of frequencies out there. I mean, infinity, both forward and backwards.
Okay.
And so that means that if I build a power plant over here, all you have to do is have an antenna. That's it. And so we can quite literally resurrect Tesla's technology and send energy back and forth to each other. And we can do it in a range that's not harming the environment, that's working in harmony within the environment. Every wavelength out there in the magnetic spectrum and the light spectrum is all frequency. It's all frequency. All of it's energy, and it can all be stored and used to actually get work done.
I'm going to talk about the other frequency. I'm going to talk about the frequency without a machine, without an antenna, without a whatever. I'm going to talk about the frequencies that we are.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to talk about the power that we were given that we don't even know about. And I'm going to tell you that the power that we have is known by the cabal. Okay? And basically, they've usurped all of that power in relation to frequencies. They are using machine frequencies, but they are using mind control frequencies. Okay? They have a lot of this. This is ancient wisdom. So I received information over 30 years ago about the power that we have, and it's a power of intention. Okay? It's the power of prayer. It's the power of our words, the power of our thoughts, and the power of our emotions. So what we're talking about, what we're sharing, you know, might send a frequency out of alarm. It might send a frequency out of concern. Some people out there might suddenly, their frequency might rise up about fear or anxiety. So this is what we have to pay attention to, the power of our frequency. Our words have power. They have a frequency. It's a wave of energy.
Yep.
It has an impact. Okay? You can really do harm to someone emotionally, even physically and spiritually, with the words that you use. And the opposite, you can uplift someone. They can get a sense of love and joy by your words, from your words. That's a power. It's a wave of frequency. Same thing with emotions. You don't have to speak. An emotion has a power, has a frequency. Okay? Same thing with thoughts. Thoughts have a wave of frequency. You know, that's just do the science research. You can find that out. So what powers do we have then to make changes and affect the whole, the greater whole, throughout the sacred web of life?
You know, somewhere in this world, there's a motivational speaker that, you know, his only deal is get out there and motivate people, make them feel, uplift their spirits. And most generally, they think this guy's like something special, but he's not. He just learned the power of words, and by the power of his words, people actually go out there and solve their own problems because their spirit's been uplifted. They get out there, they're more motivated, and they, you know, they become financially stable, and they make things happen, and they think, well, you know, I couldn't have never done this without this guy, which may be the case, but in reality, they could have had they would have been able to motivate themselves.
Well, I'm going to say, yeah, okay, so financial success is one thing. I'm talking about a greater success.
Well, greater success would put a hope out there to people to understand that they have options. And right now, there's a lot of people out there that are throwing so much negativity to the wind that you have people that are so broken down spiritually and mentally because they think it's all hopeless. And that's what we're trying to point out. It's not hopeless.
Well, so there was an experiment done several years ago. I was listening to this people talking about this experiment that they did for 4 years in a row. Now, I talked about this, but this is a key piece because this really identifies what we're talking about here about our ability to change things for the better. Now, you can do this to change things for not, you know, things not so good, and that's being done randomly and unconsciously. If we hear something, for instance, that somebody's doing, we automatically, for instance, we think about the evil, that that person is a bad person, we feel disgusted, we feel angry, we feel enraged. Those are all waves of energy that affect the people around us, too. Everybody's affected by what our, I call us like, we are the center or the center point. Either we are in that center point, which is the heart frequency, which is love and compassion, which connects us to Creator, you know, Great Spirit or God, whomever you choose to term. So this experiment, these people decided, they were in different countries, and they decided that simultaneously, a couple times a week, they would all sit down wherever they lived, and they would sit in a circle, they would focus and meditate or bring into their attention love, harmony, peace, and compassion. Now, I want to point out that the power that we have is not a thinking process. It is not a intellectual process. It is a sensory process. So when you feel love, for instance, let's say you have a little puppy or a kitty or a child or whatever, or your partner, and you feel this love for that person, okay? It is a different frequency. You are filled with this frequency of love. It's not just saying, I love you, which is just, you know, a word, although it has some impact. But when you feel fully filled with love, this frequency is different. And they did this for 4 years.
Well, science backs it up because whenever you get happy, like they say, laughter's good medicine, it releases natural chemicals called endorphins in your body that makes you feel good.
And it's catchy, isn't it? It's like people can't help it. They see you smile, they smile. You know, if you look at someone and you give them a smile, sometimes they might be a little surprised or shocked or taken aback, but they'll smile back at you. Most people will smile back at you. You know, so they did this study simultaneously. They sat down together in different countries. I think Great Britain was one. I think Japan was another one. The United States was one. I don't know where else they were, but and they kept notes and they did studies and research about what was going on in their country during the, I think, I don't know whether it was an hour and a half that they did this sit down, focus, intention on peace, love, and harmony. And they did this for 4 years and they took information about, you know, murders, emergencies, accidents, police calls, domestic violence, all kinds of stuff. And they noticed that there was a drop in all of these negatives in their country. And the other interesting thing was that they noticed a spike in the Dow Jones or the stock market, which I found kind of interesting. But my point is they impacted the whole system with their focusing because they did this study for over 4 years and it was identical each time they spent doing this focusing. They noticed a spike, a change in, as positives. That says a lot to me.
The people out there who want to make money, they know that war is profitable. They know that sickness is profitable.
Fear.
Yeah, they know that fear is profitable. And what they fear the most is for you to not be in fear, for you to not want to go to war, and for you to that's what they fear because that hits them financially.
That's exactly right.
And so what
that gives them the ability to control you.
Yep, that's the whole deal: control and finance. You will follow the money, but you know, resistive heating is what we started this show off with, and we talked about chemtrails, we talked about all kinds of deals out there, but these ideas and solutions that I talk about, they're only as good as how far you're willing to take them. You know, non-resistive heating is a way that we can use energy, what would have normally been classified as waste energy, and we can turn the heat, which would normally be a bad thing, into a good thing, because there's so much you can do with heat. If you go look at nuclear power plants, they have to generate heat, and they do that with highly refined radioactive materials, which has obvious possible dangers, as well as coal-fired power plants. You're burning coal in order to generate heat. Well, if there's a way that you can generate heat that is environmentally friendly, that doesn't require the burning of what they classify as fossil fuels, then you would think that the people would want to pay attention to what I'm talking about. You know, the solar panels that we have access to these days, they could gather up enough energy during the daytime to quite literally run power banks that would run electric motor generators during the nighttime and still produce the same amount of electrical energy that the coal-fired power plants are using, that the nuclear power plants, or even the hydroelectrics. Now, hydroelectrics is probably that's the most environmentally friendly one on the today's market. That's it. You know, because they're just using the power of the water held back by a dam to run turbines, which then in turn turn the generator heads and give you the electricity that you need. But that's just one possible solution. There's the solutions are unlimited. We have capabilities right now because of silicone technology and microprocessor technology and transistor and MOSFETs and all these different types of circuitries that are made, you know, that we could literally guide energy to wherever it is that we want it to go, and we can do it in such a efficient manner that all this stuff that we're talking about, the so-called global warming / climate change, that's not even an issue anymore, and there's no reason to spray the sky to block out the sunlight and so on. I don't know why what they're thinking about when they're doing that anyway, but regardless.
Well, they're covering up also the prospect of the solar minimum coming.
Yeah.
And so this is another issue. So when you have a solar minimum, that means we're dealing with, you know, less impact or less warm, you know, less normal sun ray, right?
Well, I'm thinking about all these cell phone towers, and I'm thinking about the ones they call Gwyn towers and the 5G networks that they're talking about, and I'm thinking back towards Tesla's research and wireless energy transfer, and I'm also thinking about the way that our magnetosphere worked. You know, worst case scenario, if we had to, we already have the infrastructure in place to quite literally build us a force field around this planet to block out the sun using radio frequencies. And if it was done in the proper manner, wouldn't harm anybody or the animals. You know, I said a long time ago, it ceases to be a conspiracy theory when birds start dropping from the sky. There should be a red flag there that says, hey, wait, this ain't normal, you know. And all we were hearing back in the day was that somebody shot some firecrackers up in the air and it scared the birds and they all had a heart attack and died and ran into windows and such. But that, you know, that's ridiculous. If you're spraying this crud in the air and you think about a bird flying through this crud, you know, the bird's tooling along, they're already running at top speed, because if you study the biology of a bird, their breathing and the way that they're flapping their wings, their respiratory systems and all that. Imagine being a bird and you're flying along and, you know, trying to keep going, flapping your wings, and all of a sudden you fly up into a cloud of this crud and it gets all sucked into your lungs, and now you're finding it hard to breathe, so it's even harder to fly. Eventually you just fall out of the sky.
Well, it's not even about the chemtrails in that case. It's really about the electromagnetic waves.
Yeah, that too, when dolphins are beaching themselves, you know.
That's the other thing we're dealing with, you know, is the electromagnetic waves, HARP, you know, all of that to effect. And so they found nothing with those birds. They did autopsies on those birds. The funny thing, well, funny, not funny, really, but the films of the people's yards littered with these birds that fell out of the sky on 2012 New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Because that was the change. When they talk about the end, okay, prophecy speaks about the end. The Mayan prophecy, everybody thought, well, it's the end of the world. No, it was the end of an era, the end of a timeline, and the beginning of a new timeline. And we are in the new timeline, which is basically the fifth world, 1,000 years of peace, leaving the fourth world of chaos, which was the old timeline. But people are struggling and keep slipping back into this timeline of chaos because of what they're being subjected to. And they're not shifting towards the new world of peace, or the 1,000 years, we call it the fifth hoop, 1,000 years of peace, which is a different frequency. That's why I talk about frequency. The old world, or the last era that ended on 2012, was basically the end of a timeline where chaos was reigning. So that was a different frequency. Chaos is one frequency way down on the ladder from the frequency of love and compassion, which is a very high frequency. This the frequency, understanding the power that we have in regards to, like I said before, what we focus on, what we believe in, our thoughts, our emotions, our words have a frequency depending on what we choose. So you can choose to be in fear, which is a lower frequency. You can choose to be loving and compassionate, which is a higher frequency. Now, unconditional love is the most divine frequency because it relates to our Creator who loves us unconditionally. So 2012 was the closing of a door on that last era of confusion and chaos and separation from the divine force. Then you turn towards the new fifth world, 1,000 years of peace, which is a higher frequency. This is a gift that we were given. Okay, they took the wisdom and the knowledge away from us that we had a power, and that that is the power of thought, of our heart, of love, of our spirit, of the wisdom that has been given to us. They removed that. They dumbed us down from that. They have told us that they're in charge. They're the authorities. It is all hopeless. And did I just get off, knocked off?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
I just added Barry into the call. He wanted to join in.
Okay, so why I'm talking about this is because this is a real key piece given in prophecy about the fifth world, 1,000 years of peace, is a divine frequency. It's a state of being, our true being, okay, as spiritual beings that are embodied, like it's this physical self that is embodied with a divine spirit, all right, part and particle of the Creator, Mother, Father, okay? So this is where we are today. It is up to us, it is in our hands to determine and to choose what we want to manifest and create in this new timeline. Because we are in a timeline now where we are vacillating back and forth between awakening and falling back to sleep. We are being inundated with negatives, with fear, with terror, and that shifts you back into that fourth world of chaos where you fall asleep again and you are under complete control. So this is where we are. It's an amazing opportunity that we were given. It's an extraordinary time that we are living in. And this, we are fulfilling prophecy, basically.
Yep. Well, my whole deal is this. I want to try to do the best I can with the knowledge available, you know, to try to make this world a better place. And, you know, maybe I won't succeed in my deal there, but, you know, it just drives me nuts when you have the solutions available to you and you're seeing society repeat the same old mistakes and still fighting wars and people supposedly starving to death in this world. And the representatives are supposed to be the ones out there that are representing us to make things better, you know. And
well, we are sovereign people, and we have to come together in unity.
Yeah.
And you are giving solutions, and I am giving solutions, and all of these parts are really important.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, the information, we're standing at a crossroad right now, and we have an option available to us. You know, environmentally, we could work in the harmony with this world, you know, that we've been given, and we could have still the luxuries. We don't have to get rid of technology, but, you know, technology is something that actually needs to be reined in before it gets so far out of control. You know, like people right now, I say at least 95% of everybody who lives in the, you know, place, basically have access to cell phones and computer technology. The most of the time, you'll see people texting each other from the couch. And what happened to
or at the dinner table across from each other.
And
well, the technology is good in many ways, and if it's used for good.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole deal. If there's somebody in this world that's starving, and we have the tools and the technology to not only transport information and food and medicines to those people, then that's where we should, as a society, be focusing our efforts at. You know, and in our local communities, there's no reason for anybody to be starving in your local communities, because the average household, you got so much stuff shoved in your dresser drawers, in your closets, in your garage, that you don't even need, that you'll probably never even use the rest of your life, unless you have a garage sale one day or donate it to charity, that it's just pretty much going to waste. So there's tons and tons of ways that the average Joe can help one another out that, you know, would resolve issues like that. You know, somebody ain't got no shoes and you got a whole closet full of shoes and you're going to, you know, it's better to have a used pair of shoes than none. That's what I'm saying. That's just common sense.
Well, I think it's also about people's connectedness, you know. It's about we need each other.
Yeah, we do.
You know. And there's been a deliberate, agenda to disconnect us from each other. And this has been a long-term process here. And we do need each other. And we all want the same thing. I don't care who you are. I don't care what country you are from. And I don't care what religion you follow or not. We all pretty much basically want the same thing. And I have said, if you sit a whole bunch of different people from all different parts of the world down in a room and they just start talking, and eventually you're all going to say the same thing. What do you want for your family? What would you want? Well, everybody's going to say, I want an end to war. I want peace. I want health for my children, my families, my grandchildren. I want clean water. I want good food, you know. We all want the same thing, you know, and we all want love, you know, but we're looking for love in the wrong places a lot of times, you know. I'm just saying, yeah. We all want the same thing. We're not any different. We all have a heart. We all, you know, love our children. We're all pretty much the same when it comes down.
Anon1065 typed a comment in the chat room, says, wow, this podcast has gotten cultish. And I said, not...
cultish?
Yeah. I said, not cultish, throwing every possible idea on the table. And that's the whole thing, man. Look.
What does that mean? I don't get that. Who is that? Is that what they call a troll? Because we're talking good stuff?
I don't know, but the whole thing is, I keep my mind open to every single possibility, because at the state of affairs that we find this world in, We need to find solutions in order to get this world straightened out, steered on a better path or whatever. We need to figure out a way to bring people together. And, you know, if you can bring...
Well, yeah, but bringing people together, maybe that's, cultish. I don't know.
Well,
I have to address that, because that kind of annoys me in a way. I mean, it doesn't make me angry. It just makes me kind of like, wow. So here we are talking about solutions. Here we are talking about, you know, creativity. We're talking about love. We're talking about compassion. We're talking about peace. We're talking about the issues that we're all, you know, being inundated here with, serious stuff. And this person, that's the only thing they can say? Ah, yeah, okay,
well,
whatever.
All I can say is that
I've not once said, neither have you, and we don't. We make sure what we're sharing, we're not demanding or commanding anybody to believe.
Right.
We're giving information, and that's up to you, however you wish to choose to receive it. That's up to you, fine.
Yeah. And we're not even asking anybody for anything. We're not trying to say, you know, hey, give us your money or anything like that. We're basically just saying that the ideas, all these
ideas.
Well,
there's a lot of confused people out there, and this is an example, and I don't want to give it any more energy. So,
yeah.
I know Barry's just popped in, so let's see what Barry has to say.
Hi, Barry. How's life treating you, brother?
I'm looking out my window at about 7 feet of snow on the ground.
Yikes.
We're getting
coming here tonight. We're getting that tonight.
Well, we've had a brutal winter, man. It's global warming, you know?
yeah, right.
But the whole country seems to be experiencing the same thing. We're into quite a brutal winter. I've never seen this much snow in Terrace this time of year. And we're supposed to get some more here in a couple of days, so it's good news.
It's good for the heart
because I'm doing lots of shoveling.
If we're potentially going into a mini ice age, which isn't beyond the realms of possibility, it's not the first time in history that's ever occurred. But if we're potentially going into heating, which is what we started the show off today at, would be one of the things that I think people would want to get resolved really fast. I mean, this whole deal about non-resistive heating, and when I talk about non-resistive heating, I'm talking about how most of the electric heaters that we use these days, they rely on resistance in order to produce the heat, to heat up tungsten elements or nichrome wire elements in order to produce radiant heat. There's also all different types of infrared style heating systems and stuff like that, but they're not energy efficient, and they use up a lot of electricity. And so I'm trying to point out solutions that would make it so that you could get more work done for less input, making it more efficient with less waste, to be environmentally friendly, where you don't have to, you know, highly refine radioactive rods to boil water or burn coal to boil water. We have energy available in nature that nature's already provided heat. If we could literally guide that energy where we want it to go. There's thermal vents all over this planet. Shared resources means if I need some fresh water and you got fresh water in your town, we could actually put a pipe from your town to my town and you could ship me your excess. Days when there's a crazy amount of flooding going on, there's ways that we can guide that water to wherever we need it to go. You see what I'm saying? And so, for people to be doing without in this world, to me, it's just ridiculousness.
I just posted a site on YouTube that I've been gone to and watched a lot of the videos and vetted a lot of the information in the videos. And the site is about the mini ice age that is coming. I believe that now. We're starting to see the effects of it now. But that's my opinion. I believe we are going into a mini ice age.
Well,
I don't see that post. Did you put it on the super?
I put it into the Knights of Roundtable chat, and I also just posted it here.
I don't see it here
in Sky.
I'm just looking on.
Paste it again.
And I don't see it in the Knights of the Roundtable chat.
I just posted it again.
All right, let me look at the other. Oh, I only see.
I posted it.
A long time
ago.
I'm
talking with you right now, and I just posted it.
I don't see it. I heard you post it, but I don't see it.
I see it.
Well, anyways.
Anyway, a long time ago, I did a video where when I was hollering about global warming, which I do a lot because the science is bogus. But nonetheless, I posted a video. I said, if anything, we're actually heading towards a mini ice age. And that's been many years ago. But all the signs of what science said happens before a mini ice age what's actually happening. The planet goes through a heating cycle, and then it goes through a cooling cycle, and you can actually see, you know, changes. Everything from seismic changes to weather changes and stuff. You can see it.
There's multiple factors affecting the Earth right now.
Yeah.
Multiple. But the grand solar minimum is now, as far as I can see, and I've tried to get to the bottom of this to find out this actual undeniable scientific proof that we are going into a grand solar minimum. And as far as I can see, unless I'm being duped, they're telling us the truth that we are going to go into a minimum, and that minimum will drop temperatures worldwide. The effects, they say, are going to be really felt in the next 3 to 4 years. But next year, we're really supposed to see the effects, so we'll see.
That's all
but
the more
indication, reason. The indications seem to be there.
That's all the more reason to stop spraying crud in the air. I mean, you need as much sunlight to...
Why are we blocking the sunlight if we're dropping temperatures, okay? Now, if these temperatures do start going in the direction that a lot of these scientists are saying, then you're going to hear an outcry from the public about any kind of carbon tax that's stopping global change or global warming, that and spraying in our atmosphere will be attacked in unbelievable different directions, because if it's a scientific fact that our temperatures are dropping, that needs to be put out to the public, and when the public hears that, all this crap about global warming will be put aside, you know, period.
Well,
it'll be debunked.
I did a video about global warming. It's funny. I actually did Caveman Killed a Dinosaur as well, but anyway...
Well, people won't be prepared, and I think this is maybe part of it.
When you're shoveling,
you know, they're lying to us about global warming, and we know why.
When you're
go ahead.
When you're shoveling 20 inches of snow off your driveway, and somebody else is telling you about global warming, then that's
come to terrace, guys, and tell me we're warming up.
Yeah, well, where's it at? Yeah. I need some of that at my house.
Well, you know what's really shocking, Shaziz, is I have in the last week been studying a lot of reports worldwide about crop reduction and drops in crop production. I read one from Pakistan, I read one from India, from China, I read a report from Venezuela, I read a report from Brazil. You can go right to their sites and get this information. You can go to government sites and get reports on this. It only takes a couple minutes of clicking around. And I'm actually learning how to do this stuff now, because I want to get this information. And I want to make sure it's coming from reliable sources if I'm going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about, some countries are saying, like Pakistan and India are forecasting minimum of 30% reduction in crops this year. We're seeing the same thing happen worldwide. If you study the crop production in the United States of America right now, you'll see the same trends. Well, all of a sudden, we're going to see massive crop production worldwide. Going to force food prices right through the roof. Absolute chaos if these numbers are correct.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is...
And as far as I can see, they are correct. So here we are. We're looking at a situation where we're going into a solar minimum, and we're seeing massive crop reduction worldwide.
If this indeed is the case, then you would think that the governments of the world and then the people of the world would start learning things like hydroponics and aquaponics. We have
the governments are all set up to live for 50 years underground.
Well, sure
so they are. They don't
the
care.
Average Joe needs to be set up to live for 50 years underground as well. So
the average Joe has a hard time putting food on his table and paying his bills right now, let alone thinking about setting himself up for any kind
of... People are doing hydroponics. People are doing...
They are, and we talk about it.
There's a lot of this that is happening. Those that are not, it's unfortunate. You're right.
Well, you know, the more we talk about that, especially aquaponic setups, man, I talk about that all the time because my buddy up in NASA set it up now. And he says it's just like, it's incredible. You can feed your family with fresh fish and vine. That's the ticket. The word is vine ripened. And when you vine ripen a vegetable, that vegetable is full of all the phytochemicals that it's supposed to have when you eat it. Anything shipped to a grocery store green has absolutely no nutrition, looks great, feels, tastes great, but it's not doing your body any good. But now he's in a situation where his two young kids, his two children, are eating vine ripened vegetables and three different varieties of fish on a daily basis, supplemented with wild rice. All he buys now is his staples. That's it. He is feeding his family with the best food you can possibly feed him, and it's costing him about $150 a month. Well, get a load of that, folks, and that's something you can do. Go Google aquaponics on the internet right now and get the system and set it up, because your family health will jump right through the roof. Your food bills will be cut in half. Your sustainability becomes a real, real valid issue in your life. You can stockpile rice. Rice has a shelf life of 20 years if it's stored properly. So what are you doing? You're setting yourself up. If there's going to be these food shortages that we're talking about, and I believe they're coming, you're setting yourself up so at least you can put food on your table for your family for minimal dollars every month compared to what you're spending at a grocery store, or you're buying nothing but crap.
Now,
GMOs, GMOs, GMOs.
There's a different levels of hydroponics here. There's elaborate, super elaborate. And there's a medium, and then there's also, you know, kind of simple.
Yeah,
and it's your choice. So it's not like complex. You can go there if you want, but basically, you know, you can grow tomatoes, lettuces, collards, all kinds of things,
in
and
your
fish
house.
In your house.
Yeah.
In your garage, in your basement. I mean, yeah, you can do this. Even in your bathroom, in your tub, whatever.
You know, the biggest cancer fighters in that we can put into our body are the phytochemicals that come out of a vine, ripened vegetable. Phytochemicals. If you supercharge your body with phytochemicals, your immune system will fight off anything that the world can throw at it. It'll eliminate toxins. Then you can go through a detoxing situation in your body where you cleanse your body, which I've done, and I drink chaga every day. And I am lucky enough to be able to have a little bit of oil every day in my life. And boy, the changes to my health, man, I just don't go to the doctor. It's been like almost 4 years now since I've taken a prescription drug, and I absolutely won't take one unless I'm dying. You do that simply by changing a few things to your health. Staying away from refined foods is number one. Stop eating bread. Eat wild rice, guys. It's unbelievable what it'll do for your body. And shed pounds off, and you become more vibrant. The more vibrant your body becomes, the more energetic you are. You want it to feel better. The more you start feeling better, you want it to get better and better. And then you look into stuff that really is affecting your health. And you take those out of your diet, whether it hurts a little bit or not. You just take it out of your diet. I'm learning to do that, Barb. I really am.
Hello, you can make bread from rice flour. We do it here.
And stay away from soya.
There's a comment in the chat room. Anon4708 said, I heard in the interview with the guy behind this Project Solar, and he's talking about Project Solar Shield, which is the chemical spraying thing, that he said that tens of thousands of people will die as a direct result of this decision. Came right out of his mouth. I think his name is David Keith or something.
Yes,
but
it is.
It's true. I mean,
he's the one now has put it out that he can save the world from global warming by putting this chemical shield up over the, and he's gotten lots of grant money from the government to do that. So now he's the one who basically has found the solution for the problem that the government put in place anyway.
Well,
I wrote that man. I wrote David Keith an email. I looked him up and I got his email. I wrote him, and I told him how appalled I was about his idea and about the real issue. Basically, it's not global warming, that it's clear cutting of rainforests, that it's coal mining, that it's oil drilling, oil spills, pesticides, GMOs. I went through the whole list, and I said, that's the real problem, and you should be ashamed of yourself for what you're doing. And I said, you need to read the book Silent Spring, Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring. So his letter back to me was like one of those, you know, patronizing type of letters.
Yeah.
And showing me, well, he's very aware of Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring. He grew up with that knowledge and blah, blah, blah. And he just went across the board with what he's doing is okay, you know, that patronizing.
Justifying
what he's doing. So it didn't take any. I didn't expect him to, like, you know, but I had to speak my piece with this guy.
Well, Barbara, we got to realize that every person involved with this program of global spraying has no doubt in their mind that it's having an effect on human health. We have no doubt in our mind. So, you know, you got to realize that their agenda. This is an agenda. This isn't a program. This is an agenda. And unless we call out the agenda, cut the head off the snake of that agenda, then it will never change. But right now, what we're seeing with spraying, man, the amount of aluminum, uranium, and strontium, and mercury are showing up in our soils. our soil samples that are being done worldwide now is unbelievable. Of course, that's ending up in our food.
I'm typing a phrase in the chat room, on all the chats over to superchat.html, and there's a lady that wrote a book years ago, Dr. Lorraine Day, wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen, and there's two reasons why I'm pointing this out. One of which is the chemistry of your body, which is why people are constantly getting sick all the time. The other is the chemistry of our earth and why the earth is so far out of balance at this stage in the game. When you throw the chemistry of the earth out of balance, you get results like what I mentioned with the duckweed and the watermill from over-fertilization of farm fields where you get the water runoff. That throws that pond out of balance. It puts too much nutrients in that pond and causes plants to be able to grow wildly so rapidly that they end up blocking out the sunlight, and fish can't keep up with eating as much of it as they would have normally ate it. And so with that said, between fertilizers, pesticides, and all the other stuff that farmers use, it throws that system out of balance. Well, when you're spraying crud in the air, once again, that is throwing the system out of balance. When you're using herbicides and pesticides that eventually some bugs will actually grow immune to, you're throwing nature's chemistry out of balance. And the whole entire thing about it is all of this stuff is fixable. But none of this stuff is ever going to be fixable as long as people continue to do the same exact ridiculousness that they've been doing. It's blatantly obvious. You put a goldfish in a bowl, and you put fish food in there, and you put too much fish food in there, and you keep feeding this fish the same exact way. Eventually, the water will become so acidic that the alkaline levels are so high in that water, it will literally burn the fish's gills, and the fish will no longer be able to breathe, and then it goes belly up, and then you'll give him the old flush down the toilet or whatever you do with your goldfish when he's gone. But anyway, nonetheless.
Well, the same thing we're seeing with the rise of red tide all around the planet. She says unprecedented levels of red tide.
Well, I'm saying
it's all because the ocean is so getting out of balance.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that because we have enough scientific information and we know how nature functions, we can actually begin to start reversing this. Look, I keep saying this, and I don't know if people are actually getting it. This place didn't get this messy overnight. And it's not going to be like a miracle cure, bam, we get it done overnight. It's going to take some years down the line. But if we don't start now, the planet that we leave behind for our kids is going to be a toxic mess. It's going to be a mess. And
is it going to survive?
Yeah, I'm saying we can fix it. We got the knowledge, but I can't do it by myself, and Barbara and Barry can't do it by themselves. All the people in the chat room over there, we can't do it by ourselves. You got to start networking in your communities and finding these problems and helping to resolve these problems, you know? And you got to get out there and get all these people who have the energy to go out and protest to, instead of protesting, be proactive. You know, instead of standing out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees, get out there and plant some doggone trees. Get out there and clean up your local streams and environments. Get onto boards that have some say when companies like British Petroleum are out there pouring Corexit by the gallons out there in the ocean, throwing the ocean's chemistry out of balance. Find out about things that were going on over there in Japan with Fukushima, if the radiation leaks are what they say, and that's changing water temperatures, which is also affecting what would have normally been a tropical fish, is now in waters that are too hot or whatever, and it just goes on and on. All this different environmental catastrophes that we've got going on can be resolved, including nuclear waste. Can be resolved.
So the question is this: is the human race going to embrace these solutions in time to turn it around? Because myself, You know, I made a statement last week when you guys were talking, and I got a little bit of kickback for it, but I have to be realistic about what I see now happening to my planet. And based on that, I said that civilization is doomed. Well, I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, believe that. And I say that because I look at, number one, what radiation and radioactivity and the whole nuclear industry is doing to the planet right now, yet we're only, what, 50 or 60 years into the proliferation of nuclear power. I look at what's happening to my oceans. I read every day reports on die-off, of mass die-offs happening. In 2018, I invite you guys to go to look at the list because it's amping up.
I
read reports. I have to be realistic. I look at everything that's happening to my planet. I study crop die-offs. I study environmental issues. And I put it all together in my head and I say, how much more is the food chain going to take before we see a monumental collapse of the food chain? It's going to happen, buddy.
I understand that. And that's why what we're doing here.
How much time do we have?
That's why what we're doing.
We shouldn't
here,
be in this position.
Sure,
but
I agree.
Okay. Yes, you're talking about the last time that I got kind of riled up about what you said because I do studies, I do research. I'm not stupid. I'm not ignorant about what's happening. What I was indicating. No, but I'm saying you're putting out all that you do studies, you're a researcher, and I'm the same.
Well, I have been, Barbara.
Let me finish. I know, I have too, you know that, and I know the issues. I know, that's why I'm talking about the issues. That's why Shaziz and I were talking about this stuff. But I'm talking about a different level, okay? And I said that basically I don't take, privilege, and it's not my place to say that humanity is doomed. That's up to Creator. And if I step into that hole and have that attitude, I don't have my trust and faith in Creator and the final plan. It's in Creator's hands. That's what I'm saying, okay? I'm very well aware of what's going on. I started talking about this 30 years ago about what was coming, okay? So I'm just saying that because I don't want to tell people. I'm telling them the truth. They can take it or not. But I would never tell people that, sorry, we're doomed. Because that's up to Creator. That's up to Creator's choice about my
person,
about me, you, Shaziz, and all the people out there. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Let's for a minute just take the whole religious aspect out of what we see going on in the planet right now. Let's take that right out of the conversation and look at this from a realistic point of view.
You can't, because that's realistic too. You cannot remove that. It's not religion. It's spiritual.
What I'm saying is that the Creator, God, gave us free choice. God didn't make the mess that we see on the planet today.
I know that.
The greed of greed of the human being, the greed of the human race, and the contamination of our soil, or of our soul, is what put us in this position. We shouldn't be in a position right now where we're looking at actually extinguishing life, killing ourselves on this planet. We're supposed to be
the Creator
Let me just say one thing. I believe, with the bottom of my heart, He created this planet. When He comes back, He'll clean it up.
Creator that I know knows everything.
All right,
I agree.
Period. Creator knew where we were going. Creator knew we had free will to choose either to do crap here, to poop on this planet, or to be grateful and be kind and generous and helpful and keep this as stewardships that we were given, that original job. Creator knows where we were going.
Yeah.
And Creator knows that some people were not going to go that way. So that's why I say, ultimately, it is not up to me to say we are doomed. I know the seriousness of what we've all chosen to do. I understand that. But I also believe that Creator knows what we're doing.
And my stance on the whole entire scenario is that I understand the severity of the situation because I've studied science all my entire life, and I see all the things that need to be done. And I'm trying to point out to people that we got a serious issue, but there are solutions available. For doing everything from cleaning up nuclear facilities to literally getting down to where we're quite literally working in perfect harmony with the earth that we stand on. And that, if if we don't at least give it an attempt, all right, then, yeah, granted, we're going to be doomed. And that's why I keep saying to everybody, if you listen to these podcasts and anything in that doggone podcast that is worthy information of telling somebody else, you got to share the information. You got to get people to the table. I'm putting a call out for all the environmentalists. Come here and let's work this thing out before it's too late. Call your representatives. Invite congressmen and senators and parliament members to the table. You know, because we're sitting here with all this information at our hand, and we're still watching ridiculousness going on. I mean, that book that I talked about, Dr. Lorraine Day wrote that book, Diseases Don't Just Happen. I know that book's probably at least 10, 15 or more years old. And in that book, she literally explains in graphic detail the body's chemistry and why it is that we got diabetes and all these different diseases that are ravaging the world. The same thing applies with nature. Nature is chemistry, and when that chemistry is thrown out of whack, then you're going to see the die-offs of fish. You're going to see when radio waves are tampering with what would have normally been the wildlife's navigation system, which is the Earth's magnetosphere, you know, their internal compass. Then you're going to have fish die-offs. They're going to swim all up and head in whatever direction they think they're supposed to be going and get trapped up in areas where they deplete their own oxygen and suffocate. Birds falling out of the sky because they can't breathe and such. There's some serious issues in this world, but I'm telling you, until it's done, until we're all dead, until humanity's completely gone, I can't give up hope, and I can't let go of spreading information that we could resolve this stuff. But it's once again, these are just words coming out of my mouth if nobody ever acts on them. I see mechanically in my mind how nature works, and I'm trying to explain it in as easy detail that everybody can understand. And I'm saying that we have ways that we can clean this mess up. We can ensure that the future of humanity doesn't have to go down the sewer drain, so to speak. We could actually turn this around. And as far as my creator, I don't believe my creator created any trash, only treasure. Each one of you people out there listening in, you got a gift. Every one of you got a talent. Every one of you got a skill. Every one of you got common sense or love in your heart, and if you ever decided to focus that energy together, we can make some things happen. Maybe it's all messed up right now to the extent that there ain't no way we'll ever get enough people together fast enough to resolve it. But if I don't at least say the words, if people don't at least try to implement the solutions, then yeah, that's where we're going. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're heading down a dark road, and eventually, if people don't get their act together, it'd be like those stories where, you know, some of the animals, they spend time gathering nuts up for the winter, and they get all their food together, and the other ones, you know, they just play around, they don't do nothing, and then whenever winter time comes around, the ones that prepared are going to be the ones that do better. That's the same thing with people. You know, you gotta use some common sense if you want to survive in this crazy world.
I agree with you, Shazish. You know, I believe right now that every answer to all the problems is there. There's no doubt in my mind. Between solar energy, free energy, changing the way we build our homes, the way we treat our food, if stopping spraying in the environment could be done, if we could plant industrial hemp all over the world to detoxify the soil that's already laced with chemicals, we're looking at a major cleanup for the planet. My question, and this is the one that really resonates inside myself all the time, is how much time do we have to start making these changes? Myself, I honestly believe that if the human race doesn't make monumental changes in the way we're treating this planet in this generation, and I don't believe we have 10 or 20 years to make these changes. Call me a doomsayer. I consider myself to be a very realistic person, and I say that because when I read reports about the amount of plankton we've lost since 1970, when I read reports about the amount of mammals that have died on this planet since 1970, what the numbers are, if you sit down and roll that through your brain, you've got to come come up with a question is how much more time do we have?
Well,
my cry to the human race is that we need to make these changes now, because when it really starts to happen, we're going to see that this year. I believe that based on these reports that I've read on crop reduction, it's going to start impacting people. The prices are going to start going up. People are going to be starting to ask questions. And as you see more and more of these things unfold in our society, you're going to see stations like you, people doing what you're doing, Shaziz, people like Barbara, what they're doing, people like Patty, anybody that's involved in sharing the truth, I think we're going to start to see our numbers go up, because it's going to start directly impacting people in their lives, and that's when people start becoming active. Shaziz, go ahead.
As far as a direct time frame, you know,
I don't have it, but I don't think we should be looking at that. I don't think we should be in a position right now where we're guessing.
Yeah, but listen to me. As far as the direct time frame, exactly how much time humanity's got to get their act together, we should have been getting our act together yesterday and beyond. But regardless, we're already past stage two of this entire episode. First, you have to recognize there's a problem. Then you got to find the solutions to it. Now that we got the solutions, humanity needs to move towards phase three, which is enacting those solutions and resolving the problems with the solutions. And I'm telling everybody on this planet, for Pete's sake, I don't know how many times I got to shout this out. We have every single answer to every single problem to resolve every single issue under the sun. Homelessness, starvation, sickness, houses that won't hold up in weather. We got all the tools, we got all the technology, we got all the answers. Now it's a case of we're waiting around for those with the skill sets to build to come to the table, those with the power to inspire others out there to come to the table. We're waiting for the environmentalists. We're waiting for the representatives of the world, the leadership of the world. We're waiting for all these people out here to get their act together, sit down and listen to what we have to say, and then we start resolving these issues in our communities, our local communities, our worldwide communities. Nothing is going to get done until you start enacting the solutions to all the answers that we've been laying on the table year after year. I mean, we're in 2018. We should have been started way back in 2015. The answers were back then. They've been thrown out there on the table over and over again. Where are the environmentalists? Where are the representatives? Where are the people out there who are concerned about their children's health and concerned about the environment? Bring them to the table. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for anybody's money. I'm not asking for anybody's donation. All I'm asking for is common sense and cooperation. And I will help my part by sharing all of what I've learned, and you can help by sharing everything that you learned, and we can put these doggone answers on the table. We can get better efficiency out of machinery. I mean, you got people out there that are so brilliantly talented that can run milling machines. There are people out there who have this equipment. If you get these people together with guys like me and all these other alternative energy researchers that we keep mentioning on here, we can get together, we can build machines, we can prove the concepts, we can show the science works, and we can resolve all this. And you don't have to spray the sky with trash. You don't have to waste money on fertilizers and all that kind of stuff. Nature has provided fertilizers. Nature has provided the best of the best for everything from healthcare to energy to whatever you need. We just need to start using it properly. That's what I've been trying to say. That's why I call it mad science, because I'm watching the pure ridiculousness of all the trash that is going on in this world, the people fighting each other, people cursing each other, and even the ones out there trying to be helpful are under attack by people trolling everything they got to say instead of putting your differences aside and sitting down at the round table on the night show or on the Mad Science and putting these ideas out there on the table and people actually listening and implementing those ideas. Otherwise, it's just talk, just like everybody said. It's just talk. But if the idea is in front of your face and ain't nobody in society paying attention, ain't nobody taking care of it, what you have talked about, Barry, about you know the world is doomed, that's what the world's going to find. It's fact. That's
I hate to say that, you know, I really do. I hate to even, you know, I have to, I mean, I hate that thought. I really do. I never thought in my life I'd ever be at a point where I'm looking at everything that I see.
But
and,
the whole
and I just cannot, I can't, you know, I can't fathom it. I can't understand why we're such an intelligent race, yet we're not looking after the one most important thing, and that's the thing that sustains life on this, for all of us.
But
I just don't understand it. It's frustrating.
The hope is only gone, and the light is only out when people give up. That's it. And so far, you know, until my Creator shows up and does whatever He's going to do, then my job
we'll
is to be
we'll keep spreading the word.
My job is to be a caretaker. My job is to
funny
be a servant.
It's
to
funny
my
how the rats start to screw when the lights shed.
Yeah. But, there you go, folks. Look, when I talk about non-resistive heating, I'm talking about using basically radio frequencies or whatever where you can actually resonate any given material and you can vibrate that sucker so rapidly it'll produce heat. And you can do it with such low voltage, such low input that you end up with a super efficient heat source. And we know that any energy can be changed. It's according to their own physics. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. All we're doing is moving around, changing it from one form to the next, and in the process of how we do our energy usage, we're wasting more energy than we're using. And so if you bring it down to a case of incredible efficiency, your average Joe can afford to have a pay a light bill if they're going to pay for that service, or they can build their own systems and provide their own service. The people in what they classified as third world countries, which really aggravates me to no extent because they should be all first world countries, they would have access to technology that would keep them warm when they needed to be warm and keep them cool when they need to be cool. We know how to kill off of any kind of bacteria that would cause people to get sick using different types of ultraviolet light. We know how to kill off poisonous molds using that same ultraviolet light. We have every single answer to every single problem under the sun. The only problem that we've got so far that people can't seem to get past is the fact that with all this information, with access to all the tools and technology we have available, is they can't figure out how to stop arguing long enough to come together to get the job done. My grandfather said, if you want something done, you get up and do it yourself, because waiting around for everybody else ain't going to happen. And that's why I do what I can do on my side of the fence. I spread the information out there, so I'm putting videos on YouTube. I'm putting a radio show together. There's hundreds of podcasts from years back, and it's constantly the same thing, uplifting informational podcast that will give you some sort of ideas to run with. But they're only going to be ideas. They're only going to be podcasts unless you send them to somebody who needs to hear the message. They understand that there's ways that we can fix this mess. If you're worried about the environmental, you should be here at ChazizRadio.com or over People for People Radio or anywhere where people are showing that there's solutions. If you're interested in trying to end the wars over fossil fuels or resource, then you should be here. You should be listening in. You should be spreading that information, because there ain't no reason to fight over the so-called fossil fuels. Ain't no reason at all. And for those folks out there in the industry, they want you to believe that there's scarcity. But I'm telling you, as everything I've studied in science, there is absolutely no way, 150,000% beyond a shadow of a realistic doubt, that you will ever, ever, ever run out of crude oil. Until this planet stops doing what it does, until nature stops recycling things into the system, every single chemistry that has ever been on this earth is still on this earth, and it just gets recycled over and over and over and over again. That's it. And so you're not going to run out of stuff. When you learn how to use it wisely, you'll stop polluting your water and killing off your fish. But once the fish are gone, well, then you ain't got nothing to eat. Once the food chain collapses, then you ain't got nothing to eat. Before it gets that bad, we need to get our act together as humans and start cleaning up the mess that mankind has been making ever since the day that the greedy guy come up out of the cave and said he wanted something that somebody else had, and that's that. So, you know, the best I can do is what I'm doing now, and the best that you can do is to get out there and network and share information. That's it. Because right now, this tool we got, it ain't going to be a forever thing the way that they got going on, because eventually they're going to want us to not be saying what we're saying on here. Eventually, the control factors out there, people that know that you could actually use water as fuel and it would be perfectly environmentally sound, they don't want you to use that because they still want to sell you gasoline. They still want to sell you diesel and kerosene and propane and butane and all the other flammables out there. If you want to literally resolve the so-called energy crisis of the world, if you want to stop those wars, then you're going to have to beat them at their own game and take these technologies and implement them. And get somebody who has machining skills to sit down and listen to somebody like me who says you can specifically engineer an internal combustion engine that will run on pure distilled water. All right? Science says water is hydrogen and oxygen. You need three things to start a fire. You need a fuel source, an ignition source, and oxygen. Water has all three. When you separate hydrogen and oxygen, it releases an electrical charge. So under the right circumstances, you get one of those hydrogen explosions that you keep hearing about in the nuclear power plants when they overpressurize and got too much heat going on. And then, boom, the doggone thing blows up and spits toxic crud everywhere. I'm saying we can get around that. And when people in this world want to pay attention, we'll actually get together in the shops and we'll make it so. So with that said, look... Guys and gals, we're at the end of our run here today. Has anybody got any words of wisdom to put out there?
Yeah, I have to go. So I'm sitting here thinking and feeling, you know, I feel like as a child of Creator that it is my job, you know, the seriousness of what is going on, to not be ignorant, to not be in denial. I'm very well aware of the seriousness of what is going on. That's a given. I feel that that's my job, let the Creator know that I'm very well aware and I will do my best. And what I can, what I was put here for, do my best to help people to understand the seriousness of things and how they can help themselves.
Yep.
I feel, and this I feel really strongly, and I'm trying to clarify my feelings about this. It's about the words, doom and gloom. We are doomed, okay? Because I'm trying to feel this out, and I feel that my relationship to Creator, I do not feel that it is my place, my position, to stand here in front of my Creator and say, humanity is doomed. I that does not feel right to me. I'm not being in denial and I'm not ignorant. I'm sharing what I know, the seriousness and where we are at this point in time that is quite serious. I totally am there. And that's my job to do, I feel, is what Creator put us here. You, Barry, Shaziz, me, Patty Wilkin, and a lot of others here to bring this message out. I feel that because my love for the Creator who created me and this sacred land, this paradise here, and all the beautiful things, that I would be turning my back on Creator if I said humanity is doomed. And I feel the judge and juror who is Creator, Mother, Father, they're still out. Okay? They haven't come back into the courtroom to give judgments. Okay, that's what I feel. And if I say humanity is doomed, that just cuts down all the hope, all the solutions, all the things that we are offering to people that they can do, that we can change things around, that we can make a difference, that Creator gave us these abilities. So I'm not prepared to say that. That's why I'm so strong about this, because in relationship to my Creator, I have trust and faith in Creator's final determination, and I don't know when that's going to be. The question, how long do we have? I don't know. That is up to our Creator. So I can't make that judgment. I will never make that judgment. And as you say, Jesus, until everybody's completely wiped out off of this planet, I'm not going to say humanity is doomed. Because that is up to Creator. That's how I feel.
My point of view on that is that I believe in the power and the glory of the Almighty God. And I understand that if my God can speak into existence this world, and the words that I read that said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains, I believe it with everything I got, with all my heart. I believe that the possibilities of what we could accomplish if we really chose to do so would be so incredible that, you know, if someday that our Creator came down, looked at us and said, wow, I am pleased at what I see, then, you know, that's what I'm shooting for. And maybe we can't get humanity to pitch in and pull together, and maybe we can't bring the people to the table, but until then, I'm not going to demean my God, my beliefs, or anything by believing that all hope is lost, because I've seen miracles in my life, and I expect further and even larger miracles in the future. And I think that there's a reason why we've all been gathered together. And maybe we come across a lot of stuff where people are constantly, poo-pooing our ideas, or, giving us a rash about things, or not understanding what we're trying to share with everybody. But, somehow or another, if you go back and look at all the years that we've been doing these radio broadcasts, we've been shouting this message out, we've been consistent, and we're still saying that there's hope, and we will continue to do that as well. That's what Shaziz Radio Network's all about. It's a platform. It's a microphone for the people. If you want to come on this radio show, it's so ridiculously simple. I mean, all you got to do is add one of us on Skype. We'll pull you into the call. Jump in the chat room and share these ideas with people. You know, bring them to the table. This right now, because of the urgency of the situation, this chat room should be so incredibly flooded right now. There should be so many people getting together talking. And if it ain't on this network, it should be over there, People for People Network. Those are wonderful people over there. They care about their people. They care about each other. They care about the world. And there's other networks, TCT Radio and all the different other networks we've ever mentioned on here, affiliated networks, people that broadcast and rebroadcast. Maybe right now their chat rooms are really hopping. Maybe they're working on the solutions, but however the message gets out there doesn't matter to me. Whoever gets the credit for the message doesn't matter to me. The fact that we get things motivated and start heading that ship in the right direction instead of over the falls in a barrel, that's what matters to me. So with that said, Barry, you want the last word before we bail up out of here?
Well, I wish I could have got in a little earlier, but I had to get my coffee in me before I attempt to talk in the morning, because the brain just doesn't work without coffee. That's bad, eh? It's starter fluid for me, man.
Yeah,
anyways,
gotta have the coffee.
Great, great conversation. And, you know, really, if we were to wake up tomorrow morning, Shaziz, and the world turned away from its evil ways, if the manifestation of the devil that we see running rampant on this planet right now was to come to a stop, and people were really to connect with Jesus Christ in their life, yeah, we would. There would be hope for the human race. But right now, what we see is an absolute, absolute manifestation of evil all over this planet. And my Bible talks about this at this end time, and it talks about other events that really I see unfolding. And I kind of live my life now based on prophecy and what I understand, what is being told to me in Revelations, and how it's being played out to the T without any debunking of any form, shape. And to say that people are creating prophecy, I disagree. Prophecies are written by God. And God is playing it out. He's telling us what's happening. He's giving us examples. He's laying it down to us in black and white. At this particular time in history, we see all these events unfolding, an oligarchy of events unfolding worldwide. But every one of these events is talked about in Revelations in reference to this particular time in history. And that's how I live my life. I understand that bad times are coming, and I understand that millions of people will not follow God. But I can't do anything about that. What I can do is reach out to people's hearts that want to hear, and people that understand, and people that realize that, you know, this is a reality. And honestly, in the bottom of my heart, this is an exciting time. It's a sorrowful time in my life, but it's also an exciting time. Because everything that I understand about biblical prophecy is just, it's like reading a newspaper. And that's really what is influencing and guiding my life right now. My conversations every morning, when I get down on my hands and knees and I pray every morning, He gives me guidance and He gives me wisdom, and I feel His presence in my life. And it's working for me, guys. That's all I can say. Thanks for having me, Shazis. And well, love you, Barbara.
No,
love you, Shazis.
Love you, too. But, you know, one thing to point out is in that same book that you and I subscribe to, God sent David to strike down Goliath, and he did it with a slingshot, according to the story. And so with that said, you know, against all odds, David faced Goliath, and I think that's what we're facing as far as up against the roots of all evil. And I'm gonna take my slingshot up against the devil if necessary. That's it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.